There is no better place.
It's time to talk.
The only way to get anything done in Cork is to be onto the Neil
Prendeville.
Fair play. Talk to Neil Prendeville.
That's a Cork threat at this stage, I think.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
And you just can love Cork people.
Conversation that matters.
And you can pick up the phone on 0818104106. Be part of the conversation with Mercedes-Benz Cork. I'll come to the newspapers in a few minutes' time. It's been a very interesting week, and I'm glad we've done it because we've had some great points of view all week, putting aside some time every day to talk about the two referendums tomorrow. I won't be in a position to talk about the referendum tomorrow because a moratorium kicks in at 2 o'clock this afternoon. It kind of gives people breathing time and to be bombarded with information. You can go away and quietly make up your own mind if you haven't done so already. So that's a good idea, a moratorium. But we've had all sorts of points of view and hopefully trying to keep it as balanced as we can. So I'll come to the papers in a few minutes' time. But a man who's under a bit of pressure now this morning, and I'm keen to have his point of view on it because he, like everybody else, has votes tomorrow. Mind you, I'm hearing of people who haven't got their voting cards. In fact, I'm even hearing from people who haven't even got the pamphlet delivered. So that is worrying, isn't it? But Patrick Murphy, Southwest Fisheries, and an AN2 European candidate as well, throwing his hat into the political ring. He's got to be gone by 20 past nine, so I said I'd squeeze a quick call in first. I think he's overseas in somewhere in Europe at the moment. But Patrick, good morning.
Good morning from Brussels.
Brussels, fair play. You got some high-powered meeting around 20 past nine, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to give your own point of view before you head into it. So off you go.
Right, so I'm a carer myself. I went back to full-time education, Neil, for my son, who his milestones and everything was missed. I was advised to go back as a special needs carer's assistance course at night.
Yeah.
But my luck doesn't work out that way. So it was a full-time course. So I had to go back to full-time education. Otherwise, I couldn't do it.
Right.
We had to go to a private consultant to get a diagnosis for our son because we couldn't get it through the systems that were there. So what this is about really is not action. That's when it's not happening here. They're giving us words instead of action. And just to put it in context for people, 20 million is what Becky Keeley stated is what is costing in this. And just put this in reality.
She's another AN2 member, of course, and it's about 23 million, I think, thereabouts, the cost of the referendum.
Worse again, yeah. and probably cost more. It'll be like the building of the Children's Hospital. It'll be up in the billions by the time we get to the end of it. Look, imagine if that money was spent on respite homes. Every county in the country would have an extra four. That's what we're talking about here. So instead of using that money where they could actually target action, they've put words into the constitution that they say themselves they can't define. So like everybody that I talked to and the people that I've talked to for years, right? Think this is absolutely disgraceful for the government to do this. It's like, we'll do this now and that'll be okay. And then we'll be able to say we did something. Did what? Changed words in the constitution that everybody knows will not increase the rights of anybody, but actually derogate those rights.
Okay, well, Michael McGrath said something completely different yesterday. He said the services will continue. In fact, it will give them an opportunity. Now, these are politicians making promises.
Of course it is.
But they actually will be setting aside even more money to help carers to access services and etc.
Look, I was speaking to carers and people, home helps and everything about this and contacting me yesterday, and are absolutely irate with what's going on.
Why? What are they saying? That it allows, by changing this wording to the state recognises the provision of care by family, that it gives them an opt-out from caring themselves as a government are being involved
in
the care.
No, it's what they said to me is this is here we come again with words, right? Instead of giving proper pay rises and terms and conditions to these people that are going around saving the states millions every year from people going into hospitals, $2,000 a night inside the hospital, and they're not being properly recognized or paid for this, and their work isn't being recognized as full-time employment, they can't get mortgages. There's a whole raft of stuff that's going on here that the government is saying.
So they're full-time carers on allowance of a couple of hundred. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you couldn't afford a mortgage. You certainly couldn't get a mortgage from a bank, did
no.
you? Yeah. You probably would struggle to pay rent. Yeah.
Yeah. So what they wanted was simple wording to put into the constitution, like myself as a man. If you want to recognize males and men and fathers in the constitution, add us to mothers. you know, if you want to add wording inside there to be descriptive of the people that they're saying they're, this is going to help, add it in there. They can use the English language. Then people would understand that they'd be under an obligation to help these specific. But when the law is vague, and when you have the likes of Michael McDougall telling you, well, no, this isn't going to work, that means it's settled inside the courts, just like the government have said themselves. It'll be settled. I know this from the fishing industry. It'll be settled inside the courtroom. That's hundreds of thousands of euros for the ordinary individual person to take on the state.
Yeah.
And the state has proven, even in cancer cases, that they drag people through the courts. They are not living up to
that. That would be a worry, because you'd want right deep pockets
Absolutely.
To take on a government.
So I, as a carer that went back to school for full-time education, that had to fight to make sure we got an individual educational plan for my son to bring the key stakeholders together and to get the CNOs and the special needs assistants to
exhausting?
Work out a program for my son. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and none of this wording is going to help anybody in those situations.
Okay.
It's going to make it worse
because
it's pushing it back onto the family home. And look, even if I'm not right, why take the chance? Let's get this government to do it right for a change. Listen to the advice from the people that are on the ground, not the politicians, but the people that know what they're talking about because they've lived it. People should vote no in this referendum to get these people to do it right.
Okay, could I just ask you, because you are down west along, although your brief is fisheries, but could I ask you with regards to, say, agriculture or the farming community, are you noticing any kind of worry or unhappiness with the family amendment, you know, like with regards to succession? I was reading a lot about farmers worried about succession and inheritance rights and things like that.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way, right? You have a widow or a person living on their own, they've no family, and you have three neighbours that come in and mind that man. They're in a durable relationship. They're minding the man. They're looking after him. Who gets to claim that they're looking after him more and that they're entitled to his assets or his inheritance afterwards?
But could that happen? That you could have. Could
that happen? You have.
Wait a second.
People.
Are you saying you could have a farmer that never married, never had children, no cousins or uncles or, you know, anyone at all, and that the farm would go to a neighbour who looked after him?
Yeah, as a durable relationship, you have the same rights as marriage. You're being a durable relationship now in the law, and this has been said by everybody, even by on the debates when Padder was talking to the minister, was, yeah, a durable relationship now has the same legal entitlements as marriage. That's what he said. And you can have two or three relationships, but they'll sort out then who's got the rights inside the courtroom, and they look at past previous law. This was what was said on a debate on national television. This is the madness of this. This is not right. We do want changes to our constitution. It needs to be modernised, but this is a lazy and crazy wording that's been put into this. Of course I want to see carers recognised. I'm one myself. Slavery was abolished, Neil, long, long time ago. And just because your partner is earning money that say that you can't get paid for your work is a disgrace. Why would anybody say that that's okay? And this is what this referendum will say. And it's pushing back the onus legally on the family rather than the others. So coming back to what you asked me, two men got married, and a farmer with no family married the lad that was helping him on the farm so that he wouldn't have to pay inheritance tax. No, they don't have to get married. This is the changes that this legislation will put in front of.
They did marry.
Yes, but I'm saying to you, no, they don't have to. They're in a durable relationship.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So this changes everything. So
he had wanted to give him his farm, but knew that if he did, there'd be massive tax. So they and there was nothing wrong in what they did. They got married, and on that basis, when he died, and sadly he did pass away, there wasn't a huge big tax bill, wasn't it?
No, there wasn't. But you see, no, you don't have to get married because we're putting durable relationships in the same legal status as marriage. That's what we've been told.
Yeah.
No, you can correct me. You have this all week. So this will completely screw up our inheritance laws. And what this will mean, it will mean a blockage inside in the courtrooms. It will mean there will be overwhelming cases inside to challenge this legislation, left, right and centre. So, and Michael McDougall said that we're going to absolutely destroy our legal system. We've massive problems already with court cases being taken on workers coming into the country and migrants and challenging deportation and everything else. And now we're going to add in a whole new tier of element of people fighting over money, over inheritance, and the next door neighbour saying, well, I minded that man, I was there an extra 10 hours. This legislation is not properly written.
Nah, but
and
as a person who's inside the court. right? I mean, I can't get her.
No, it's not, because they keep saying it. No, Neil, in fairness, now you've had enough people on the show to tell you this, and the politicians, left, right and centre. You have the Taoiseach saying one thing in interviews, and then you're seeing Roger Garmick giving a whole different explanation. And this is
where
all online.
A neighbour could say, I've lean on the farm because I looked after him in old age, or he developed a dementia and he needed an awful lot of minding and he passed away, so I'm his durable relationship.
We were told Christmas cards are enough to confirm a durable relationship. What I'm saying to you now is, if there's a question mark over that, why should we... but that's what was said by the other one. And look, I'm not looking for red herrings. What I'm trying to point out is the madness and the lunacy of having changes to our constitution, right, that creates confusion and makes things worse rather than better.
Right,
when our politicians are meant to put in legislation, they're legislators, TDs and Dáil.
That's gone.
British Parliament.
Okay, you're
to write
up,
laws
you're
for our people.
You're breaking
and
up.
And if they don't write those laws correctly.
Okay, so you're obviously voting no to both, or
sorry,
one?
No. There was somebody else came in on the call. I just cut them off. Sorry about that.
All right, not to worry. I have a fair idea as to you're voting no on both anyway.
And I'm hoping people will realise that this isn't the end of it. That now that the government has admitted that there is changes needed to the constitution, we have other political parties saying that if this doesn't go, they'll change it. So let's get it right. Let's not take the chance of putting in legislation that we're going to regret for 30 or 40 years, like we've seen with abortion and the others that was there that threw everybody out in the X case. Let's get it right for a change.
Okay,
let's get the experts in and put the right wording in that covers what the government are saying they want to do, and just do it correctly. So if you vote for this, you lose that chance.
All right.
But at least people understand the step in the right direction was, first of all, admitting that there needs to be better resources, better money, better care, better acknowledgement for the people that are working very hard looking after the most vulnerable in our society
and their families.
State needs to step up.
Thanks, Patrick. Text 0868104106 on that one. Still have it in my mind. Actually, it's probably something worth looking at. If you had a property, even a home, for instance, think about that. If you had a home and you never married and you had absolutely zero relations, you had no cousins, you had no nieces, you had no nephews, no brothers, no sisters, nobody, and you die, is it the state that gets your home? Or imagine even on the scale of a farm, could that also be the case where you literally have nobody, never wrote a will? I know I see ads in newspapers from time to time where they advertise looking for people to see if they know somebody who recently died, where they get in touch with such and such a solicitor. I suppose that's the reason behind that. Anyway, text 0868104106. We'll have a quick look at the papers after these.
Call Neil now. 0818104106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Story in the Echo this morning from Victor Shine, the second officer with Cork City Fire Brigade, and he would know. He says that Cork City Fire Brigade has seen a dramatic increase in suicides and suicide attempt over the past year. He says that there is a mental health crisis in this country, and we're seeing a dramatic increase in calls over the past year on Leaside. He says it's across all classes, all backgrounds, the very poor and the very wealthy alike. And he says we're seeing tragedies all across the city. And so Donal O'Keefe's story in the Echo, dramatic increase in suicide attempts on Leaside. And then we have to worry very much about our children and all of the temptations that are out there. You know, nitrous oxide, now that usually would be used by a doctor or a dermatologist to just kind of burn off little blemishes on the skin or what have you. But children and teenagers are using it as what they call hippie crack. So they're playing Russian roulette by taking legal nitrous oxide. It can be bought, apparently, because it's used very much in the catering industry, particularly, in with regards to sauces, but more so, I would imagine, with regards to baking. So nitrous oxide is legal. And in the past, they were buying it in small little tubes, tiny little ones, little bullet-like tubes. But now, apparently, they're using bigger cans of them. And they are literally inhaling it. The idea is that they use the gas, known as laughing gas or hippie crack, and in the past, they would have these small little bullets that they would break the top off and they'd put it on top of a balloon or balloon on top of it, and the balloon would inhale, would blow up, and then they'd inhale the gas from inside in the balloon. But it does serious damage to your brain anyway. It turns you into a complete zombie. You just literally keel over. But also it leads to shocking frostbite to various body parts. You might have seen photographs or some on TV documentaries recently where they showed some videos of frostbite between a teenager's thighs. Really shockingly bad frostbite. So that is a real worry. I don't know, you know, these temptations. You also hear of a lot of the TikTok challenges, unfortunately, leading to death. There's a story in the English Times this morning where an 11-year-old boy died. He took part in a TikTok challenge called chroming. This is nothing new, but the worry about it is they are so young now, and these challenges then are challenges that are done on TikTok, where there's a video where it's recorded, and sometimes it's done live, but it's inhaling toxic chemicals. A lot of the time it's household products, by all accounts, to get a high, and it shuts down and damages the central nervous system and can lead to cardiac arrest, suffocation or cardiac arrest. So that's awfully, awfully sad. There's a lot of health stories obviously making the news on a daily basis. We were talking about pain yesterday, real severe pain on a scale of, you know, I was talking to Sarah on the air whose pain was 11 out of 10. There are children with scoliosis who are on shocking long waiting lists. There's a story making the Mirror today of a girl who was waited 5 years for surgery for a curved spine. She is now in so much pain, she's 10 years old, that she can no longer even bear to sit in her wheelchair. But she's one of hundreds of children across the country who are in need of life-changing operations for scoliosis. And it actually is cruelty. It certainly is. It's child abuse, if you think of it, that we would allow our anyone in the country, but particularly children, to live with such pain on waiting lists and where it wouldn't be expedited, because it's not as if we don't have enough money. There are a lot in the courts then today. It's a very disturbing case going on in Dublin. This is the man accused of murdering his wife, Diego Costa Silva. Actually, he told Gardaí that he had confessed to cheating on his wife, and that he believed that she was going to try and kill him. But he also said, sometimes you have to behead somebody if they are possessed. It's very disturbing. Now, the Central Criminal Court jury hearing the trial has been told that they'll be asked to return a special verdict under the Criminal Law Act of Insanity. He's pleaded not guilty to the murder of his wife, and that case continues. Every single day it gets more and more disturbing and worrying and upsetting to even read the court text. And then from the courts as well, I see the man who allegedly headbutted Roy Keane will be in court today. If he's found guilty, he could get up to 6 months prison. This goes back to Roy Keane, who was at the Arsenal Man United game in 2023. I don't know if he was working the game or what, he was there as a fan or a supporter, whatever, but some geezer allegedly headbutted him. So it's the front page making the Sun today. Arsenal fan faces jail for Keane headbutt. I was reading last night an article. I have it on my phone there somewhere, trying to say, which football club in England has the most thuggery from their fans, or, you know, criminal intent or getting into trouble with police at matches? By all accounts, it's West Ham.
Yeah, West Ham and Millwall would have very strong reputations. Yeah.
Did you see that article?
I didn't. No, okay. I didn't. But I remember my dad has some amazing stories of going to Arsenal in the 1970s. He said he went to Vicarage Road once on a football special, you know, the away games that they used to, the trains they used to put on for away fans. And he said they were literally, it was like being moved as prison, like prisoners. They were corralled from one end to the other. But he said Arsenal scored, and Vicarage Road's a very old stadium, so it was all just concrete steps. And he said when they scored, he got taken up off his feet and got thrown 10 feet forwards and then 10 feet
back. That's jubilation to a goal, though, isn't
it? Yeah, but it's like, it shows you how like kind of unsafe everything was, that the whole crowd just rushed to the front and then rushed to the back, and God, he ended up back in the exact same spot where he was. But West Ham, Millwall, okay, then, Leeds would always have traditionally
had a very... I have it for you if you want to know, because the stats have just been released, apparently. I was sent the email yesterday. West Ham United, number one. This is to do with hooliganism. The worst behaved fans, I suppose, how you'd sum it up. West Ham United, number one. Manchester United, number two. Manchester City, three. Leeds United, four. Leicester City, five. Birmingham City, six. Everton, Tottenham Hotspur, Millwall and Chelsea. Arsenal don't make the top 10.
No, yeah. No. Jeez, Arsenal would never make the top 10, Neil. Sure.
Manchester United, second.
You couldn't afford to be a hooligan in Arsenal. They'd probably try and charge you through the nose for it. United in second is a weird one.
Yeah.
I always thought United fans have reputations that most of them fly in from abroad to watch.
Violent
them.
Disorder, a common cause for the arrests, apparently.
And City. Like, City don't
Manchester
even have,
City, the highest one was for public disorder. So there's a big difference between violent disorder and active and maggot,
fan
I
suppose. Yeah. That's a very strange list. I would have, like, in my mind, I would have said West Ham, Millwall, Leeds.
Well, West Ham do have the most hooligans, apparently.
Yeah, and Man United, Chelsea would have had traditionally, like a lot of those clubs, those London clubs, Chelsea, Millwall, West Ham, back in the 80s would have had firms. There's actually a really good film called
Chelsea
Running with the
tenth.
Firm.
Yeah.
It's the film's about it was a movie, but then I think Tobey Maguire turned it into a film, but it's about a cop that went undercover and ended up being one of the Millwall firm for a couple of years. Fantastic book.
Well, Chelsea ranked 10th, and apparently the most common offence with Chelsea fans is throwing missiles.
Oh yeah, okay.
By all accounts. That's very interesting reading, because they have different clubs and the different things that the supporters actually do.
Yeah, yeah.
So it makes the papers today. But there's an Arsenal fan in court today for allegedly headbutting.
That's very unusual now for Arsenal. You know, normally it's all caviar and beautiful football and, you know, French va-va-voom. What can I say?
I tell you, there it is. Just another couple of stories making the papers this morning. Text 0868 104 106. There's a fella, a pensioner up the country, right? And he bought a bit of land and he put a mobile home on it. This is in Tipperary. And then he tried to live in the mobile home in the winter, but it was awfully, awfully cold. So he got a load of tradespeople, friends of him, and he changed the mobile home and he developed into a really snazzy looking wooden cabin. And he's been living there since. Well, you know what happens next. He's been in jail and will be back. Sorry, he's been in court and he will be back in jail, court soon, and is worried that he will be going to jail because he applied for planning permission then for the log cabin in Tipperary and he was refused. But he still has it up. And I suppose ultimately, if you go through the process and you keep losing, you have to demolish it. But he says, I didn't do anything to anybody. Why should I be persecuted in my own country when I was born and reared in this area? I'm back in court on the 4th of April. I haven't taken it down. I'm not going to take it down. I don't have any other place to go. I never did anything to anybody. I tried to make a home for myself and I am being persecuted. Let's keep a very close eye on that court appearance on the 4th of April, because the judge has a choice here: to follow the law of the planning authorities or to show empathy and understanding to this man who needs a roof over his head. He's a pensioner. It'd be a tough call for that judge to make. So we'll keep an eye on that on the 4th of April. Your thoughts on that are welcome. Text 0868 104 106. And online, I always like to get a couple of online stories in. Irish Central, which is the big news service in America, particularly for the Irish online. Do you know the issues regarding on Garda Síochána, and they were in the St. Patrick's Day parade and then they weren't invited to this one and then it all kicked off and now they've been invited to take part in the St. Patrick's Day parade again in New York. But the boss of the St. Patrick's Day parade committee, a fellow called Riley Dundon, resigned when he heard that the Irish Gardaí were not to be allowed to march in the St. Patrick's Day parade. Irish Central are reporting online this morning that Dundon wrote that the Gardaí, these are his allegations, now these are the things he's saying. He says that the Gardaí disrupted parade operations, openly consumed alcohol, refused to obey laws, instructions, acted towards the committee volunteers in a belligerent and aggressive manner, and that it included at least three supervisory Garda officers. He pointed to reports sent to members of the parade board and showed a video link showing uniformed Gardaí tossing a GAA player up in the air on Fifth Avenue. What in the name of God would be wrong with tossing Jason Sherlock up on the air? I mean, it's just a bit of hijinks. But the rest of it, though, including, he says, openly consuming alcohol, refusing to obey the laws, behaving in a belligerent and aggressive manner, he wasn't having any of it. And if the Gardaí were marching in the St. Patrick's Day parade, he wasn't being part of it, and he resigned. The papers also this morning, for those of us that have issues with trying to pay bills and what have you, I can't understand why petrol and diesel is rocketing upwards again. That makes no sense to me. You would think that it would continue to drop if we're not as demand if we don't have as much demands on Russian oil anymore. But not just that, but also insurance premiums continue to rise in spite of new guidelines reducing compensation payouts. And I've spoken to a compensation solicitor who said that their money is well down because the compensation payouts are well down. So why then are insurance premiums continuing to rise? You just can't make it up. And while we talk about spending 800 million on improving roads in Northern Ireland, there's an interesting one from the Labour Party member, Peter Horgan, who says that really what we need to be doing, certainly in Cork, he's not saying this, but I am, maybe we should be fixing our footpaths a bit more than all of these cycle lanes. But it's the headline story making the echo today. There will be more and more compensation claims, I can tell you, from people falling on the state of our footpaths right across the city, suburbs and satellite towns. And Bambi Thug is very unhappy because she's saying she's not getting enough airplay, particularly on RTE. There's a stat out from Why Not Her, the group that supports and tries to do their best to get more airplay for women on Irish radio and more gigs for women. They say that the amount of plays that Bambi Thug has got, say, on RTE, would mark their song as the lowest performing song by an artist representing Ireland at the Eurovision on Irish radio ever, in the sense that up to now, this song is played less than any other former Eurovision song for many years, which is kind of weird, considering that it has a damn good chance of actually winning Eurovision. But anyway, I don't know, if you were to hear the Bambi Thug song on air, would you turn it up or would you turn it off? There's some other lovely colour stories which I'll come back to throughout the course of the morning, particularly on customer service and how you deal with a helpline or somebody at the end of a phone line if things have gone wrong and you're trying to get a call for help. Shouting gets you nowhere. More on that later.
Call Neil now. 0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
As somebody who signs off their email as a durable listener says, I've been listening to your coverage over the past few days of tomorrow's referenda. Only for you I wouldn't know which way to vote. Like, everything this government touches has been a disaster. For one, I know of no one I know has received an election pamphlet to explain exactly what we are voting on. That aside, I have received my polling card, yet my wife, who was voted in every election and lives in the same house, has still not received her polling card. I know she can turn up with photo ID, but this is just another example of mismanagement by whoever is responsible for disseminating the information. It's kind of shambolic, isn't it, where one person gets it in the house, another person doesn't. May I also say I haven't seen anyone call to my door to talk to me about this referenda. So thank you for the work you're doing, try to make some sense out of what we're expected to vote on. A durable listener. I've had no one calling either from either side, but I certainly got the polling cards about a month ago, and I did get the pamphlet, and it's a handy pamphlet. In fact, I've been using it as a reference point on air ever since. But one thing about not getting the pamphlet in every home, because they were supposed to be all good, they went out in the post with on post, didn't they? But so everybody should have got one of them. But this issue of not getting polling cards, you wouldn't think they'd have fixed that by now, wouldn't you? They do say, oh, well, don't worry about that, but just turn up with photo ID. But it's your right as a citizen to have a polling card. Do you know what I mean? It's like applying for a credit or debit card and never getting it. Like, you're entitled to it. You know, it's yours. It's part of who you are. I wonder, and that's signed by a durable listener, I wonder if the durable relationship gets the yes vote, will it open the doors for people in, say, polygamous relationships to go to court and claim that they're being discriminated against? It would, but I don't know how successful they'd be in court. That would need an actual legal change, wouldn't it? And then an interesting one. To lighten things up, why don't you play Gilbert O'Sullivan's song, A Woman's Place? Go on, be brave. Go on, go on, go on, go on, says Ciarán. Claire checked out the first verse of Gilbert O'Sullivan's song, A Woman's Place, and it is, I may be old-fashioned, so what if I am? I'm not any different to any other man. I'm not one of those who look for blood from a stone, but I believe a woman's place is in the home. That's from some years ago. I'm not quite sure what decade, possibly the 70s. Some might suggest the 1930s. But anyway, back to the phone lines we go. Text 0868 104 106. Deirdre, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Neil.
Thank you for holding. Interesting text from you saying we have a government that can't even decide what a woman is. What do you mean by that?
It's just that everywhere we look now, we see this idea of genderless and gender fluid, and they can't decide what a woman is. I saw on the HSE website there recently that if you identify as a woman, you can go through the menopause. I mean, as far as I'm aware, you can only, you know, if you're a biological woman, you know, you can bear a child, and now they're just trying to get rid of us from the constitution.
Did you actually see that somewhere? That if a male who identifies as a woman,
it doesn't say male. It says anyone who identifies as a woman. You know, here's our support for menopause,
Oh, anyone who identifies as a woman would include people who were born female, so therefore they could go through menopause. It's confusing,
yes,
isn't it?
Women, It is. And I just think it's just another example of how they're trying to just create this kind of genderless society.
So in the past, would it have been a HSE, you know, pamphlet or advice saying, if you're female or if you are a woman, we are here to help with menopause. But now they're saying, if you identify as a woman, we are here to help with menopause. Is that it?
And that's it. It's just watering down what a woman is. I mean, it's like, you know, there's a whole question now in society as a whole, what is a woman? And, you know, there's only two sexes, male and female. And here we are again trying to remove the word mother from the Constitution. And is it, you know, is it to further kind of make society kind of genderless, you know, that we don't have our roles? You know, the Constitution actually exalts women in its wording in the article we're talking to remove. Like, I find it as a mother, I actually find it it's beautiful language, that it recognises the huge contribution I'm making to society in rearing my child. And I want to rear my child well. And in doing so, I contribute to a healthier society. And I think that's kind of been lost in all of this argument.
Yeah.
That, you know, the whole idea is, you know, if we don't have children, if we don't raise healthy children, we don't have an economy, we don't have a society.
But you see, the original amendments were saying that it was the exclusive job of woman in one article and the exclusive job of mother in the other article. And that's no longer really as accurate as it should be in 2024.
The wording actually says that a woman, by her life within the home, you know, that it's... It doesn't say that her life is in the home. It recognises that the huge, important work that we do within the home if we choose to be there.
Yeah.
And I think it's so hilarious that this government and the media are saying that a woman, like the Constitution is telling us that a woman's place in the home, when the majority of women that I know are out in the workforce, they stay at home for the maternity leave, and then unfortunately...
But not everybody. I mean, if I were to say that, I don't even believe it, but if I was to say that to anybody in my home, I'd have a bag packed and I'd be out the door.
Well, that's a woman's place is in the home.
Men don't really believe that.
Men don't think that. They don't think that. Like, you know, men don't think that, and the majority of women know that that's not the case because they're out in the workforce. We've had two female presidents. We have many female TDs, and I just think it's a joke that they're trying to sell us this lie. Like, who do they think we're blind? They must do. And I saw the Green Party, Eamon Ryan, like he's in 2017, he actually said that the wording in our constitution was in terms of the woman in the home was very progressive, because he saw that if the woman wasn't in the home, we would kind of lead to a more kind of corporate type of a landscape, and that wouldn't be good because we need to raise children, and if we can't have children, we're not going to have an economy.
That's as much, you know, saying that he didn't want women in power in business. But what are you going to do though with the line that has to be taken out, to engage in labour to the neglect of their duties in the home?
Well, it doesn't mean that you would be neglect. It doesn't mean your duty is in the home. It's saying that the duties of the home are so important that, you know, if that's where you choose to be, if that's where the mother wants to be in the early years, particularly, that she can be there, and the government will endeavour to
shall strive to support such a provision.
No, that's the new wording. That's the new wording is strive to support. The old wording is endeavour to ensure that mothers don't have to leave the home by
endeavour to ensure.
And the problem here is
they endeavoured, but they never did.
Yeah, the government has failed, and their successive policies over the years have failed it, because they've forced the two parents out into the workforce. And you know, it's so expensive now to live in Ireland. You know, and people are struggling to pay the bills, struggling to pay the mortgages. They've allowed the banks, successive governments have allowed the banks to play murder in this country, do what they want. We bail them out. We'll be paying off that debt for a lifetime to come, and so will my daughter and, you know, and probably my grandchildren. And here we are, like, trying to blame the Constitution for the failures of government policy. You know, it baffles me. I can't get my head around it. I think it's probably because we're in a general election year. They have to throw in this little referenda to try and...
You say if mother is removed, could it mean that anyone in the family could care for my baby instead of me? But the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, because the wording of the new wording is that, but members, you know, the members of a family by means of their bonds to one another. So could it be going down the line, you know, that they might try to tell me, well, okay, or try to tell mothers, well, you know, you have a job there, and your grandmother is free, she's retired, you know, get her to mind the child, and you go back to work there quickly. You know, I'm just, like, these are kind of things that haven't been fleshed out, and it's because they didn't allow us access. There was no pre-legislative scrutiny.
Okay, Grant, you're going to let you go back.
Yeah, I know she's fine now. There was no pre-legislative scrutiny. This whole thing was rushed, and it's hushed. They wouldn't allow the minutes of these kind of meetings to be released.
So for people who are going to vote no and no, really, fundamentally, their issue will be the watering down of marriage and the institution of marriage and the erasure of the importance of women and mothers in the home.
Absolutely. Okay. And it's such a huge deal. And this, I just feel the government haven't given people, you know, proper rights or kind of access to the information. And they're lying about even the words durable relationship. Like Roderick O'Gorman and Leo Varadkar can't agree. They're one saying it is based on influence by European law on immigration, and the other saying it's not. Like, you know, they need to be clear. They need to stop kind of trying to pretend that we're silly people. We can't understand. Okay. We can't understand truth.
Thank you, Deirdre. Much obliged. A lot of texts from yesterday's programme talking on this. A durable relationship has been interpreted by the Supreme Court in this country to be understood as an intimate, romantic or sexual relationship between two people akin to marriage but not marriage. So that's an explanation for you lads. This was handed down by Justice Marie Baker herself. And that it is, again, just to remind, a durable relationship from the Supreme Court is an intimate, romantic or sexual relationship between two people akin to marriage but not marriage. So even the word intimate is quite vague. You can have intimate acquaintances. You know, some of your friends could be very intimate friends, as in you would share anything with them. You would turn to them to advice. You know, you would talk to them if you were feeling down. You would share stories about your life and your struggles. That could be an intimate relationship, wouldn't it? So on that basis, that would be akin to marriage, but not marriage. See? It's kind of very confusing. Thank you for opening up this referendum debate. Many others are not. I'm voting for mothers and families. Mothers and families. And on that basis, people should vote no and no. Text 0868 104 106. Pick up the phone on 0818 104 106. Back after the break.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
If, for instance, the Supreme Court says that a durable relationship is an intimate, romantic or sexual relationship between two people akin to marriage but not marriage, surely that would include polygamy, wouldn't it? You would think you'd be able to argue that in court. Somebody was saying by text, if a Muslim man is an Irish citizen and married to more than one woman, we're not residing in the Republic of Ireland, can he bring into Ireland his wives? Because he can say they are durable relationships. Durable relationships are mentioned in EU immigration law for years. It's an interesting point. It's a lengthier text. I mentioned it actually because I got Tim Brosnan, who is actually a Fianna Fáil councillor for Cork North Central, and is surprised by the fact that many of his Fianna Fáil colleagues are fudging much to do with this referendum. And he says, if you don't know, vote no. And he joins me by phone. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
Fair play.
I'm a former councillor, sorry.
My apologies. Well, you served long and hard for many years, in fairness to you.
I did, and I always had an independent voice within the party.
Okay. What bothers you, because your text starts with the issue of, or the idea that polygamy would have to be honoured in Ireland.
It would, of course, because if a person gets legally married in another country, if a Muslim from France had five wives, or a Muslim in Syria came into France and had five wives, then that's a legal marriage in the country in which the person came from. And if we accept that person in, we accept what legally that person has. And if they can't get their marriages recognised, they can certainly get durable relationships recognised.
By going to court, is it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and I think Neil...
But they would have to go to court because Michael McGrath, your Fianna Fáil colleague, the Minister for Finance, said yesterday that polygamy is illegal in Ireland, not recognised by law.
No, it is. It is because I cannot legally marry many women in Ireland, but I can legally marry many women elsewhere and come to Ireland, and I'm entitled to have my legal status recognised. Because if you accept me, then you have to accept all that comes with me.
Which would be a number of wives and the potential to have many, many children. But even if that was the case, why would we even have a problem with that? Is it like the amount of children's allowance we'd be paying or what?
Well, the problem comes from the fact that you now have uncertainty. And I'm very, very cross at the government, and I'm very, very cross at the Dáil for allowing two proposals to come before the people. And I don't care if a person's voting yes or no. I think people are well motivated either way. But to actually stifle debate in the Dáil, to hide the discussion papers that the ministers themselves sat around and spoke about, to hide all that from the people, and then put a vague, questionable proposals to the people, that is government holding the people in contempt. And while many ministers in this government have think that sovereignty is an old-fashioned idea, under the Constitution considers the people to be sovereign. And for the servants of the people to put proposals that confuse the people, to hide debate, to mask debate, that is, in my view, holding the people in contempt.
It's quite straightforward, really, isn't it? Hang on a second. It takes mother and it takes woman out of the Constitution, and it says that it recognises instead the provision of care in the family by members of the family. It also changes the institution of marriage being, you know, what was the state recognising it as the natural primary and fundamental group. And they're saying, well, you know, it isn't really that anymore. It's marriage or other durable relationships. It's kind of straightforward.
But you see, in the Constitution as it stands, the state recognises in particular the mother and the work she does. In the proposed one, the state recognises the provision of care by members of the family to other members of the family. I think what's happening in reality is that the state is petrified that it is going to be found to be failing under the Constitution because it hasn't been providing care to the people that it should be providing.
So it has to take those words out that we will, you know.
It is taking those words out for a cynical reason. And I know now, I don't want to ascribe bad intent to anybody, but as the old English poet William Blake said, a truth that's told with bad intent beats all the lies you can invent.
Can I just say...
Go ahead. These proposals that are before the people don't recognise the sovereignty of the people. And while I do condemn the government for doing what they're doing, and I would appeal to everybody who has not their mind made up to go out and vote, and I would also say to all the members in Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, to go out and vote, vote no, and we'll get another bite of this cherry.
Okay,
people
just
want to do right by children and by those who are being cared for, but the people cannot.
Okay, can I just?
And the government should not.
Okay, so if you're not sure, you don't know, then you should vote no. Just one quick before to let you go. This was
I understand that if you don't know, vote no. But the onus is on all the people who are at home saying, I haven't a clue what this bloody thing is about, I'm going to stay at home.
Okay.
Sovereignty.
But they will. Many will stay at home because referendum turnouts are there can be as low as 29% and as high as 60%.
The public need to understand that this is their constitution being changed by a government that has not allowed any debate. And Sinn Féin are equally guilty because their job as opposition should have been to force the debate, even if they were voting yes. The debate, the Dáil Éireann has failed to have a debate. The government is hoodwinking the people, and I say to people, vote no, and we'll visit this page again. Vote yes, and you do not know what's coming down the line.
Okay, thanks, Tim Brosnan. Appreciate that. I can just say, just very quickly ahead in the news, that this has been challenged. The polygamy issue has been challenged in the courts before, and fair play to Claire O'Connor. She gave me this. She said, in June 2017, the Supreme Court ruled that the first marriage of a Lebanese man with two wives would be held as valid under Irish law, while his second marriage and all the potential subsequent marriages would not be legally recognised under Irish law. The appeal followed from the case previously ruled in the High Court, went from the High Court up to the Supreme Court. And the High Court in 2010 held that polygamous marriages were incompatible with the understanding of marriage in Ireland. and in the Irish Constitution and were thus entirely invalid. So he appealed that to the Supreme Court and lost that as well. So that's the where we stand now with regards to polygamous relationships as to whether they are legal or recognised, even if you go to court in Ireland. But you have to ask the question, with the changing in the wording of the Constitution, would that give people more opportunity to win a case for polygamy in an Irish court if the referendum is voted in as a yes? Text 0868104106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
Morning all. Just a quick gentle reminder that the screening of The Farthest, the story of Voyager 1 and 2 that are hurtling through deep space and continue to do so. If you were lucky enough to scoop some tickets through my Instagram page, or Eventbrite for the screening. Just gently reminding you that it's on today. It's at the Kane Theatre in UCC. You might have got yourself a couple of tickets and forgot about it. I want to make sure there's a good turnout there, because Emma Reynolds, the director, will be there. There'll be a showing of The Farthest, and then we'll have a Q&A afterwards. And myself and Emma will chat for a bit, and then she'll throw it open to the floor. So if you have a ticket or tickets, it's today, guys. Go check the ticket. It'll give you the details of how to get there and the time. It's in and around 5 o'clock. The Kane Theatre at UCC. There'll be nibbles there and a bit of food and stuff like that. So you'll have a lovely day. If you have tickets, it's today. Just mentioning it. Also, because of time constraints yesterday, I've got some extra calls to do and a double win for our daily prize, courtesy of the Cork International Hotel. So hopefully today we'll get a lot more calls on that one. You have two opportunities to win today. This is Sunday lunch for two. This is all to do with Mother's Day. Sunday lunch for two in the New Yorker Bar at the Cork International Hotel. An overnight stay in a deluxe room for the night in the hotel, and a beautiful breakfast the following morning in the Atlantic Restaurant. On top of that, you get private access to the in-house hotel cinema to relax and enjoy a movie with whomever you choose to take with you. So we're looking for your best mammy stories. They can be funny, they can be mortifying, embarrassing, whatever. We're just looking for a good laugh. So text your story. You can be the mammy yourself, or you can be telling it about your mammy. Text 0868 104 106, and we'll drill into those after 11. We've got calls and texts on the way.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
I see texts there from people saying they want to go to the screening of The Farthest today. I'm afraid that's not possible. I hate to pointing people, but all of the tickets are gone. They've been gone for weeks. 5:30 at the Kane in UCC today. So unfortunately, it's not as if I have any to give away. They're all gone and have been for weeks. So my apologies for that. Maybe it may happen again in the future. If so, I'll be part of that as well. But back to text. People shouldn't forget these same people that want to remove the word woman from the Constitution are the exact same people that want to enact psychotic hate speech legislation and wanted to commemorate the Black and Tans. It tells you a lot, doesn't it? People should vote no, says Dara in Blarney. How can these articles be deemed to be sexist when today, according to the establishment and people like you, Neil, men can be women and mothers can be men? I never said that men can be women. I said that men can identify as a woman if they wish. It's none of my concern. This is where the ideological rubber meets the road. If you or anyone else supports this ideology, you must support it under all circumstances, whether it's politically expedient or not, or whether or not it's socially fashionable, says Richie. And just one or two more. I can't come on air. I'm married at 20. My eldest is now 27. I stayed at home to rear the kids while my hubby worked. I never signed on for credits as a stay-at-home mum. I didn't know I had to. My husband had my tax-free allowance, and now I'm short of my credits for my pension. I have to catch up with them for the rest of my life. That does sound unfair and inequitable, and under the Constitution, these are the things that they strive not to ever happen. But the old Constitution, of course, the way it stands, would be more in line with the fact that you should have been at home raising the kids and not wanting to go out and to work and do both. You see what I mean? That's where the confusion comes in. If this Constitution change passes in the referendum, it effectively replaces marriage with durable relationships. Because why would anyone get married? There's no incentive, especially when a durable relationship is on par now with marriage. Marriage will be extinct. This is a kick in the teeth for married couples in Ireland, says Owen in Carrigaline. So there's that and lots more besides, which I'll come back to. I want to go back to the phone lines because Maureen's been standing by for quite some time. Maureen, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Okay, where do I begin? You were saying that amongst other things that we should abolish Mother's Day if this is carried and call it Carers with Children Day instead.
Sure, why not? Mm. Where is the point in having a Mother's Day? Or a Father's Day for that matter?
It's not about having a mother, it's about the duty of care in the family not being exclusively the mother.
Well, wait a second. The way I look at it is, if we give up our words, we give up our rights. And this is more than a constitutional deletion of woman and motherhood. It is actually the deliberate debasing of our most precious natural words, replacing them with nondescript, less vague terms, is what it is. And it is proposed, Article 41.1 of the Irish Constitution, it is proposed to insert the words whether founded on marriage or other durable relationships after the word family into this article. Well, in 41.1, the state recognises the family as a natural, primary and fundamental unit group of society and as a moral institution possessing inalienable rights and then prescriptible rights ascendant and superior to all positive law.
Yeah, which actually, for a layperson, is total and utter gobbledygook, really. They could have made it much simpler.
But it is also proposed to delete the words in which the family is founded from Article 41.13, which currently states, the state pledges itself to guard with special care the institution of marriage on which the family is founded and protected against attack.
Yeah.
Now, how can such an undefined vague term as durable relationship become the natural, primary and fundamental unit of society?
No, it doesn't. It says whether founded on marriage or an other durable relationship. And it also says that the state will guard with special care the institution of marriage to protect it against attack.
Well, it is an attack on motherhood. It is an attack on women. It is an attack on the word mother and women. We have seen too often, Neil. We all know it.
42% of relationships. 42% of relationships in Ireland that have children aren't married.
Whether they're married or not, Micheál Martin stood up in the Dáil about 2 weeks ago. I heard him, and he had the gall to turn around and say, "We cherish all the children equally."
Yeah.
What was he quoting from?
You tell me.
What a hypocrite. Yeah, exactly.
No, like we do. I'm sure
everybody knows where the term comes from.
He's right. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Where it comes from. He's right to say we should cherish all children equally. But you see the
really?
Problem. Yeah, well, of course he is. But they're not all cherished equally, particularly the sick ones or the disabled or those that have intellectual issues or that need help or intervention. So we... Not us,
no,
the taxpayer, because we don't...
No, they're not. Because, first of all, there is no funding, there is no money to be put into the health service.
Yeah.
They'd rather give it to Ukrainians, bring in their pets. There's money needed going out of this country every single day, right, left,
so
and
really,
center.
The wording is waffle. It doesn't really matter what it said or what it will say. It will actually change
hogwash.
Nothing.
Hogwash. It'll change nothing. It's absolute hogwash.
Yeah.
And for me, the question is for me, why would any woman or mother vote yes when you ask any one of those in Leinster House what is a woman? They will refuse to answer the simple question, what is a woman?
State recognises in the past, it said, that by her life within the home, woman gives the state a support.
But the Constitution, as it stood, never stopped any woman from working outside the home.
Well, actually, that Constitution did. It stopped any woman working in the public service, the public sector, the civil service, from holding on to their job if they got married. And that didn't get changed until sometime in the 1970s. So a woman, under that Constitution, if they had a job in the civil service, name any department, whatever you want, they had to give it up if they got married.
Right, so the Constitution was changed so they could continue working the civil. That's fine. Well, then it should have been left alone. Because from that point on, there was no woman ever stopped working outside the home. The only protection that a mother had was that if she chose to stay at home, she was free to stay at home, and that was it.
But it's no longer, even if it was that way back in the old days, and it certainly was with regards to my own mother, who worked before she got married, stopped working when she was rearing children. When we all grew up, then she went back to work again. But now, in the times that we live in, other members of the family, it could be a partner, it could actually be a husband, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to marry, also has a role in the family and rearing of children. So it has to be modernised in some way.
Modernised?
Yeah.
So you recall what we are reading and what we're being asked to vote yes to, modernised?
I'm only making the point that not all relationships now are founded on marriage.
But why? But you see, why? Why do they want to remove two simple words, mother and woman?
What's
the problem?
Yeah.
No, they will not tell you or give you an answer because they're terrified. Because this is a political agenda. They can't describe it a durable relationship. They put in the stupid word strive. And strive means to make great effort to achieve or obtain something. Something. So what are they trying? What are they striving to achieve? It's a load of hogwash.
I told you
and
what.
If anyone has any common sense, vote no, people.
Yeah. Well, you call them a bunch of traitors, liars, shysters,
liars,
and con artists.
They are. That's exactly what they are. And I have a few more choice words too, but I won't use them just now. I'm too annoyed.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Maureen. Text 0868104106. Staying with the phone lines. More texts in a few minutes. I'm Mary. Good morning.
Good morning. Is that myself on air?
That's you, my dear friend. Did you not get a pamphlet, the referendum pamphlet?
No.
I don't know why. Do you get post delivered?
Of course I do. Yeah.
It should have been delivered.
But it wasn't. But they failed on that. But there was something that...
Well, is it any wonder that people are confused if every home in Ireland didn't get this pamphlet? Because it's a very good reference point, this pamphlet. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, David, usually, and there's an owner of them to supply every household with the pamphlet.
Yeah.
They didn't do that.
And a polling card.
Well, I received a polling card, all right. But it doesn't surprise me that there's so much confusion surrounding the durable relationships. For instance, in relation to the messages that are emanating from Leo Varadkar and Roderick O'Gorman, there's a conflict in what they said themselves. Leo Varadkar stated when he was promoting his proposal, this is just on the 4th of March there recently, that the durable relationship is a word that exists in legal jurisprudence in European law, and that's the reason we chose it. Now, just prior to that, in December, Roderick O'Gorman stated in Leinster House, the definition of durable that we are seeking to put into the Irish Constitution is not influenced by the EU definition of durable.
But they use it. They use it in European law, the word durable.
Yes. One is saying that they got it from Europe, because of, I suppose, its importance, and the other is saying that they're not influenced by the European definition at all. So those two messages that are emanating from their own party are in conflict. So is it any wonder people are confused? Now, in relation to the durable relationships, and it's a plural word, because I looked up the proposal, and it says it puts it on par with, let's say, marriage, but then it gets the protection of inalienable and imprescriptible rights, which means they can't be touched or violated or interfered with at all. So there was some lady rang your program there during the week, and she raised the issue of the family reunification program.
Is this back to polygamy again now, is it?
No, hang on a second now. It's not that. It's the family reunification program.
Or bringing family, okay.
Yeah, family members. But it seems to be an extremely porous document. And there are, an awful lot of legal, I think it'll be a bonanza actually for the legal board or for certain people. They have a plethora of legal people to defend the position of anybody who comes to them in relation to the problems that they want brought before the court. This is the Immigration Council. So if you have, let's say, not polygamy now, we leave polygamy aside because that is as it stands at the moment, but if you insert this durable relationships and you have somebody coming from a different culture and a different practice and different set of beliefs, and they have three wives or four wives or 15 children or 20 children and they come here, first of all, they will have to be recognised. under the family reunification program, under the durable relationships, because they will insist on their position, and then they'll have legal protection.
Maybe the children, but not all of the marriages.
Well, I don't know that, because the thing is up in the air so much. As I said to you earlier, I didn't make these statements. They made the statements, and they're in conflict. It seems to be a whole quagmire of legalese.
Well, in both the High Court and the Supreme Court, when this was challenged by a Lebanese man with two wives, the state recognised in both courts the first wife, but not the second.
Yeah, but you see, this is a different situation now, because you've got durable relationships, and it's plural, inserted in the Constitution, if the proposal is passed. So prior to that, it wasn't in position. Now it is in position. So it appears to me I'm not a legal person. And most of the voters are not either.
They would be able to argue that because the word marriage is singular and durable relationships is plural, that they have durable relationships with many spouses.
It looks as if the door is open for that.
All right. Okay.
And then you can't get certainty from any of them. And there's just one more thing I'd like you just to refer to there, that there was another message came from Catherine Martin, and she was saying that the woman's place is in the home, and it says that states in Article 41 too. But that's incorrect, and it was taken out of context. So it was challenged by, you might know him, he's a journalist, Ben Scallon, and he asked if she would delete the tweet that contained misinformation.
No, it's never said in the Constitution that a woman's place is in the home.
No,
that's just,
no, it's not.
That's just a saying.
No. When you're speaking on behalf of the government...
I understand that. Yeah, she was wrong. I'm just saying,
hang on a second. It's different for you or I to say something, but we don't have the benefit of an array of advisors. Every word they issue is carefully calculated. So she's perfectly aware. She's paid to know what you're saying.
Did she retract it and correct it?
No, this is what I'm getting to. It's just to come to the contempt that they seem to be displayed towards the electorate and the public at large. That when he tried to challenge it, she obfuscated. So the next day, there was a press conference given by Micheál Martin, Leo Varadkar, and Eamon Ryan. And when he tried to erase the issue, they just walked away. They just wouldn't even entertain the man's question.
Oh, that's the journalist from Gripped.
He is. I don't know whether he's independent now. I know he's attached to Crypt.
I saw that piece of the press conference. They were all standing there. I think it was Leo Varadkar, Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan.
That's right.
And he went to ask a question, and one by one, they folded up their papers and walked off.
It looked prearranged to my
I don't know whether it was or not. I just thought, wow, what's
that about? Whether it was or not, anyway, it did display an unbridled arrogance and an ignorance and a kind of contempt for the public. But yeah. In relation to that, yes, I think that particular one the day before got 3 million hits, which is, practically the voting population of Ireland.
Do you have a copy of that tweet on X saying a woman's house, a woman's place?
You can actually get that up. You can Google it yourself if you wish.
All right,
you might also try to research or just have a Google of the family reunification program, because it seems to be opening the door all over the country.
Okay, all right. Thank you for that. Okay. Appreciate it, Mary. Thank you. I'd just like to highlight how I've been robbed of my vote for tomorrow by the stupidity of others. I'm a mother of three. I've voted since I was eligible, but unfortunately this time around my voting card never arrived. My husband's came, along with one for my 13-year-old daughter. Well, she can't vote. I waited, imagine 13-year-old rocking up to vote. She's very tall. I waited till Tuesday for my one to come, but when there was no sign, I checked the register online and it kept coming up that I was not registered. I rang the county hall and I was told someone would ring me back about it. On Wednesday, I got a call to say they can't understand how it happened, but my 13-year-old daughter, who clearly isn't eligible to vote, had been registered with my PPS number and my date of birth. Unfortunately, the mistake cannot be rectified, and I'm not able to vote this time, as they wouldn't have a card done for me in time. The line manager was supposed to ring me back, and I'm still waiting. This is nothing short of absolute disgrace. I feel robbed in having my say in something as important as this. I've lived at this address for 14 years, and as I say, I've been voting for years, so nothing has changed apart from their records for some reason. I've no idea how that could happen. I don't know whether it was human change, human error, software glitch. It's a bizarre one for sure. That you're gone, your 13-year-old daughter becomes registered instead of you with your PPS number and your date of birth. I don't know whether or not if you went with the polling card. I mean, they do ask for ID. I know that. They do ask for ID. So if you tried to vote, because you clearly have the right to vote, it's your PPS number, it's your date of birth with your daughter's number name. I don't know whether they'd allow you to do that, but that's one of the more bizarre ones of that, you can be sure. To WhatsApp, get involved in the conversation. Text 0868104106. Paul Walsh of Three Little Piggies. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Prendable. How are you?
Right. Where to begin? I don't know. You're talking about slowly but surely this government and perhaps others before them have been obfuscating, isn't that the word? All of their responsibilities, yes, to the state and to our citizens. Talk to me about that.
Now, you mentioned yesterday, you said, are the government letting themselves off the hook here with payments of carers or carers allowance or anything like that? I think absolutely they are. Now, the governments have introduced this referendum. We're not too sure what's the wording of it is all confusing to a lot of people. We don't know what their aim is at the end of the day, but I think the government are pushing through an agenda where, like, at the moment, there's 5-day sick leave to be paid by an employer to a member of staff, 70% of their wage.
Yeah, one of the reasons given, actually, by more and more restaurants and those engaged in hospitality for closing their doors.
Yes, it's the extra costs being driven up. Now, that's going to increase to 10 days. And come here, employees are going, yeah, this is great, you know, that's fine. You're still paying your PRSI contributions. Employers' contribution of PRSI went up this year. Now, when you go to sign on sick with the government, they're going to look at you and go, well, no, your employer is paying you for 5 days and it's going to go up to 10 days. This later on this year, there's a pension plan coming in that employees can opt into. Again, they'll pay so much every week towards a pension plan, and the employer has to contribute a percentage as well.
Okay.
Now, for a young fella or a young girl starting out in this country at 18 years of age, by the time they retire, they think this is great, you know. When they retire, they're going to be means tested. The state pension will be non-existent. They'll turn around and look at them and go, well, you've got your pension plan. You've paid into it for 40, 50 years. You've got so much. You don't really need state pension. And this is the agenda the government are pushing.
The employee and the employer has paid into that pension fund.
Yes. Yes, it's coming in October. An employee can volunteer to opt into it. They don't have to if they don't want to. But if an employee opts into it, they'll be deducted every week out of their wage packet.
So they can't take that away from you at retirement.
No, but that's going to be your pension. It's not going to be a state pension. You're going to have your own pension.
So the pension will be based on all of the contribution. But what if you never worked?
Well, if you never worked, you never paid into it. You're going to get a state pension.
Yeah, yeah.
But for somebody that has worked all their lives,
somebody who's worked all their lives should get both. But
at the moment you would do, but this is the route the government are driving us down, and it will be means tested, wait and see, and this is the route they want to take. They want to take away all responsibility from themselves to pay for anything in this country to anybody.
You think we will arrive at a day then, you believe, just to flip this around a little bit, that if somebody who has private pension contributions that they're paying themselves and their employer has nothing to do with it, it's a private pension, you took it out with Irish Life or somebody like that, then when you come to retirement age, they will be able to see that you have a fund there to support you in retirement because you have a private pension, and they won't give you a state pension?
I think that's the route that the government are going down by introducing the state pension as well.
Okay.
Absolutely the route they're taking.
And the other point then, of course, was it's all very well about celebrating the increase in minimum wage. That's a good thing. But the government and the taxpayer doesn't pay that.
A lot of people, again, online and everything, they were celebrating. And increasing minimum wage has been part of life over the last 10 years or so, and rightly so. But the government came in with €1.40 in one swoop.
It's $12.70 an hour now, isn't it?
It is $12.70, you know, putting businesses under pressure again. Now, the government should have turned around and said, lads, we're going to increase it by €2.10. But what we're going to do is do it over 3 years and do it 70 cents a year to bring us up in line and give businesses a chance to absorb it. What they did was just bang, it's gone up. Mm. And The VAT, obviously, which you know about, went back up, the minimum wage. And what the government did basically is create a perfect storm amongst the, especially the catering industry.
Okay. So you.
By the way, which at the moment, over the last 8 months, and anybody that's honest with you will tell you this, every catering business at the moment out there over the last 8 months is down a minimum of 15% in takings on last year.
Why then are Deliveroo and Just Eat flying? And their profits are rocketing.
Well, I think it's cheaper. For people to get deliveries rather than going out and sitting down and having the whole wine experience and the drinks.
But the Deliveroo order are from a Chinese isn't cheaper than, you know, going in and sitting down.
Well, sometimes it's not, Neil, but other times it is. But yeah, but Deliveroo and that are doing well. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's as much to do with people not bothering or wanting to go out as much. They're probably still spending, but they're, maybe it's fast food they're buying, is it? And they're having it delivered home.
Not spending as much, Neil, not spending as much. Like here, a lot of my 15% I'm down over the last 8 months is actually with students. They don't have money. Like say last October up to the start of December, they had no hours in cafes, bars, restaurants, part-time hours were not there. Now they had them over Christmas, but again in January and February and coming into March, even now, the cafes, bars, restaurants are all quiet, even shops are that bit quieter. So they have no extra hours to give the students. So they have no money in their pocket. It's all a knock-on effect.
Okay. So for you then, forgive me for asking, are you going to vote no and no just to protest against all of the above?
Yes, one, it is going to be a protest vote. Secondly, I don't understand the wording of it and where they're coming from with a lot of us. If in doubt, vote no. And I'm in doubt. And it is a protest vote as well against the governments.
Yeah, I suppose also if there potentially, and there could very potentially be a low turnout, there normally is for referendums. And actually turnout for general elections is also getting lower and lower. Maybe that's one of the reasons why people just won't vote no. They just won't bother voting.
I actually think this referendum is going to set a record for the lowest turnout ever from talking to people.
There was one in the 70s. Can't remember what it was for. I think it was the 70s. It was 29% turnout. It's very low.
Yeah, I think it's around that 29-30, but I think this one will be even lower again.
All right, thanks, Paul. As always, stay with the phone lines. Text 0868-104-106. I'll read out some more in a few minutes' time. John Byrne. John, good morning. Did you want to pick up on durable relationships?
I didn't. I just want to try and figure out how far the government intend to stretch it. Insofar as that if somebody's been having a durable relationship on the sly from his wife and he dies, the durable partner, can that durable partner make a claim on his estate and
his
pension?
I would probably think that they'd certainly have a punt at it, yeah, probably.
So we're going to be tied up with legislation and through the courts.
Unless the state would say that we can, unless the state would say or a court would say, I don't know, they might say, we can only recognise one, and the one that we recognise is the first one, and that is the marriage.
No, because I mean, the government have let the gate wide open. Durable. Look, he might have two or three durable partners.
Right, okay. Okay.
Like it's going on as well, you know.
Well, it says marriage or on other durable relationships. It doesn't say marriage and other durable relationships.
Well, there's a lot of people who would be married who wouldn't know that there was a durable relationship going on, because if the wife did, he'd be getting his nuts in a bag as he went out to gas.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Okay. That's another grey area then, that the government and politicians will say that needs to be challenged by the individuals in the court.
Yeah, but so there we're going. We're changing the constitution on a whim. If they were concerned about the people who had relationships with children that they were trying to bring into the fold, why didn't they put a codicil to the constitution to recognise them people without changing everything?
And what would the durable partner be looking for that the wife would possibly be entitled to? Pension, the house, bank savings?
I'm sure she would.
For that matter. But I mean, it can be either side. Yeah.
It can be either side. They could put a lien on the property that would see it tied up for years.
It's getting very interesting, isn't it, John?
It's getting very murky. I mean, who are the brain boxes who came up with it? I mean, I would expect that they know more than you and me about the law and the intricacies of it. But you know as well as I do, when you go to court and you're trying to get anything done.
Okay, let me get some more texts on. Thank you. You've thrown another cat amongst the pigeons there. Thank you for that. I made a reference to part of a text earlier on. Can somebody please answer this question? One, because there's more than one question. If a Muslim man is an Irish citizen married to more than one woman, which is polygamy, who are not residing in the Republic of Ireland, can he bring into Ireland his wives as his endurable relationships? Durable relationships are mentioned in EU immigration law for years. Now, that was the first part of the text, just to complete it. One thing to point out is that halal meat, kosher, had to be legalized in Ireland because it's part of Muslim religion, a totally barbaric method of slaughtering animals. It was never allowed here, but why do Ireland change laws to pander to a minority community? As in, that law had to be changed. Our Irish culture and traditions are being totally diluted. And that's from Pauline. I think the point there is, if it happened with regards to the change to recognise other people's cultures, and that change was the halal slaughter of animals, then possibly it would be changed also to also facilitate polygamy. There is a significant halal slaughtering business in Ireland. It's big business now. European regulations require animals to be stunned before slaughter, but they do now, and in Ireland as well, allow exemptions on religious grounds for meat to be considered kosher under, say, Jewish law, or halal under Islamic law. The animal must be conscious when killed. The animal must be conscious when killed. Thank you for that. So again, you can see how much grey there is in all of this. You know, it's not black and white. Right in the middle, there's this shady grey. Isn't it amazing that not so long ago the politicians couldn't define what a woman is? Now they can decide what is good for a woman. Isn't politics great all the same? And one or two more. We voted before in this country. It was a no vote. Wasn't that the Lisbon one? The vote was so close that the government decided they'd have another vote. Lo and behold, the next time it went from a no vote to a yes vote. History will repeat itself. May you continue to grow stronger and stronger, says James. Love the programme. Hope you read this out. Thank you for that. And one other one. How are we doing? Oh, yeah. I tell you what, I'll go for the phone lines. Just keep an eye on the clock here as I am and get some more texts in a minute. Con, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I mean, it's amazing. I don't know. Is it just that more and more callers and texters are contacting me? But that seems to be the general consensus across the week. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a swing to the no, you know, but people are confused too. I mean, the two of them are kind of crossing over, you know, the women, the family, and the women, the home, you know what I mean? But it's absolutely crazy to remove the word being the woman, the mother, and the home. And
so the referendum could be called the mother and marriage referendum.
A little bit, yeah, it could. But they're undermining marriage. The government are hypocritical too, and they're saying, oh, marriage is very strong. But the durable relationship is going to interfere with the marriage rights, I think. It's going to, you know, it's going to, as Michael McDowell said, it's going to set up a kind of a bomb inside the courts and system. You know what I mean? Why should it be settled in the courts? I mean, the courts are slowing up. There's going to be a huge backlog of cases and everything about property and everything.
Maybe that's going to have to be the job for the courts, because there are many people and children born in relationships outside of marriage. And something's got to be done to recognise that and give it proper status in society. People who don't get married.
Yeah, but
43%, 43% of families today in Ireland are unmarried.
Yeah. But that can be sorted out. They're already... every child is cherished in the Constitution. I mean, why take out the mother? I mean, it's just crazy. With Mother's Day Sunday now and taking out mothers out of the Constitution. I mean, it's crazy. And there's another issue
it's
here.
It's not kind of saying that mothers are irrelevant. It's saying that there is a bigger involvement in the rearing of children or the family unit than just women or mothers. It's members of all of the family to one another.
Oh yeah, I know that. But mothers have a very important role, as you know. At the moment, women have a choice; they can go out and work, or they can stay at home if they get burned out or something like that, and save the children. If this referendum is passed, they won't have a choice. That will be gone out of our constitution, that a mother can't be shoved out of the home because of financial circumstances. That will be gone.
Like, who's going to... Like, if this constitution changed, who's going to shove a woman out and say, get out to work?
You'll be very surprised now the way the country is going. There's a lack of democracy, as you said there, the Lisbon Treaty. I canvassed against the Lisbon Treaty, and they said 10 months later, people didn't understand, they will run it again. That's not democracy. No. We're not living in a democracy at the moment. And I tell you one thing, this is very dangerous, and a thing that hasn't been brought up either. A man that was working in the United Nations for 2 years, he got emotional at a meeting there a few weeks ago. He said that one of the reasons they're trying to remove the wording, the mother in the home, is because they want to get conscription of women into the army, a future EU army. They're not talking about the new army at the moment, but those could be down the road in a year or two. A future, and this wording is preventing European women being conscripted into the EU army. And this is
First of all, you're saying we're going to have an EU army. Second of all, you're saying there's going to be conscription. And thirdly, you're saying it would be conscription of able-bodied men and women against their wishes.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Because, as you know...
But how in the name of God would any of those possible serious changes coming from Europe, has that got to do with the Family Amendment or the Care Amendment?
But it is very important. That's holding back the EU, the European Union, Brussels, from being in that conscription. Because, you know, the war in Ukraine is going to escalate. And the European Union want to escalate it, and America, but they want bodies on the ground out in Ukraine, fighting Ukraine, and this is holding them back. Our great constitution, this wording, the mother and the woman in the home should be cherished by men and women around Ireland.
There's no one in Ireland would ever accept, and we'd have to have a vote on that we would introduce in a time of no emergency in Ireland conscription of our sons and our daughters, 18 years and older, maybe 17. That would never fly here.
It would fly. It would fly because the way things are going now, a financial crisis, as you know, there was a crash in 2008. There's going to be another financial crash, maybe in 6 months, a year, or 2 years at the most. And it will be a mother and to dwarf the 2008 crash by 10 times.
When's it? Okay, I'm not disputing what you're saying, but... You've raised that. When is this crash going to happen?
Well, it's going to happen in the next couple of years. I mean, look, they're spending money like confetti and giving out to Ukrainian refugees. We're one of the most indebted countries too, but per capita and in the world. And they're always saying, Ireland's one of the richest countries in the world. We could go from a very rich country to a very poor country in a very short period of time.
Well, things do operate in cycles. The boom is always followed by bust. You're right there.
Yeah, and I tell you what, and the house has gone stone mad, gone future. It is going to happen, Niall. You're a great man to be talking about this. There's a lot of censorship around the country.
You're entitled to opinions. I have no problem with people like you.
I'm right. I'm actually right about this. There is going to be a mother and father of a financial crash in the next 2 years. And then you'll get the conscription when people are stressed out, they're hungry and whatever. It's going to come. And this wording should be cherished. We should be ready to fight for that wording in the constitution, the mother in the home. And the home is actually a property rights. We're getting rid of our property rights as well. A home is a house, 95% of the time, you know, deal. So, I mean, it's worth standing up for.
Okay, my man. Thank you, Con Crennan. Text 0868104106. Pick up the phone on 0818104106. Do me a favour there, Kev. Just intro this, because I did see, this was originally maybe a five and a half minute clip, which we brought down to about 80 seconds. And it's a spat between, maybe it's just a disagreement between Helen McEntee and Michael McDougall. Go ahead, former Justice Minister.
Yeah, that's it's from one of the it's from last night's debate on the Tonight Show. It's
on
between
Virgin,
yeah, on Virgin Media. It's Senator Michael McDowell, basically
and Richmond, Helen McEntee, the Justice Minister. So two Justice Ministers, former, one current.
Yeah, and Neil Richmond basically saying that the McDowell asks about Neil Richmond whether he says will the referendum have consequences for immigration law. So this is kind of how that all plays out.
Okay, let me get it on. Have a listen to about 80 seconds.
There will always be people who will contest the laws that we have. There will always be people who will try and claim asylum or try and claim family reunification or try and prevent themselves from being deported, and they will use different types of case laws. But our laws are very clear when it comes to family reunification, how they apply and how they should be applied. Changing our constitution on Friday by voting yes to recognise other types of families doesn't change that. As minister, on security grounds or any other grounds that I deem fit, I can set out the laws when it comes to immigration. Well, that will not change. So the case you're referencing is before we've even had any change.
Would you acknowledge that you could face increased court challenges on this, given elevating durable relationships or inserting durable relationships into the constitution? People will look to use that in order to win their case in the courts.
They may. But there are always cases brought to the Constitution. There are always cases brought to the Supreme Court. But it is for government to decide on immigration law. And it's set out very clearly and in very narrow terms why we have the criteria that we have. So to overturn that and to overrule that, there would have to be a number of factors taken into account. And that, again, the Senator knows this.
Helen, that's precisely why Neil Richmond was right. There will be serious consequences. And that's precisely the kind of confusion that's out there.
Right. There are other little nuggets in that piece of audio where Michael McDowell expands a little bit more. You didn't hear it there, but we might maybe try and isolate that between now and midday. We'll see. But either way, this is two justice ministers, the current and a former, disagreeing fundamentally, which is kind of interesting. If Michael McDowell were now the justice minister, would we be looking at this referendum? Would we have a different interpretation on it? Who knows? Back after the break.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
So across the last few days, polygamy has been an issue. What a durable relationship is. It could be a marriage plus a durable relationship. It also could be family. Another issue for people is family reunification. And that, for anybody that wants to know what that is, that's if somebody, say, for instance, outside the European Union comes here and applies for asylum or to be granted, and they're granted leave to stay here and make Ireland their home. They are under Irish law and indeed European Union law, allowed then to start the process of bringing together family members, particularly children, spouses, elderly dependents, over to them here in Ireland. I don't know that there would be any limit on the amount or, you know, how. I mean, I don't think it could be uncles or aunts or cousins or nieces or nephews, but it certainly would be family members. And then I hear you shouting at the radio, but what do you determine as being a family? How extensive is that? But it would be particularly children, spouse, although it does say spouses in the UNESCO definition, and elderly dependents. That's what family reunification is. Text 0868 104 106. Pick up the phone on 0818 104 106. There's an interesting text then, which actually I don't have time for this one now. It's a bit on the lengthy side, but we'll do that and lots more directly after the news, and we'll pick up on that. And also continue the countdown with great prizes for Mother's Day.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
And to do matter, be part of the conversation, the Neil Prendeville Show with Mercedes-Benz Cork. Now, at midday today, of course, I'm off air, and tomorrow I can't do any texts or calls or anything at all to do with the referendum. So I would be in a position now, if I hope, to use the time to get some texts on before quitting time, because I won't be able to use them thereafter. And by Monday, it will be just too late. We'll be talking about other things. Indeed, maybe the results of the referendum on Monday. What's frustrating to me as a mother and a woman is that we have a government who feel they have the right to change wording since time began. Removing the term mother is an act of abomination from the Constitution. We are not stupid. We as Irish people know it's about breaking down the family unit where children are in creches all hours away from their mother's bonding. This is where the nanny state kicks in. The teenagers of today's behaviour is horrendous. Very general statement to make. The teenagers of today's behaviour is horrendous and their mental health is breaking down due to mothers and fathers working two or three jobs just to survive. This is deliberately done to break down the family unit. In our constitution, the family unit is above the government, but many aren't aware of that. That's why our education doesn't teach the children the constitution or the laws of the land. So when I hear Neil say it is modern times, that's nothing more than BS. We are behind in technology. Our English has been deliberately changed. So has our natural resources. We have electric trams and battery cars. People should live how they want to live without forcing it down the throats by others. The country is turning tyrannical. This government has become rough, corrupt and draconian. They need to be stopped before it's too late. Does humanity not learn from the past? Our government has pledged war on its own people and it's time we rise up. Another one here, there's so much, actually just one or two more, there's so much contradiction for a person that's not married, and if either party were to die, the other will pay an extortionate tax on the 50% of the family home that they inherited. It's unjust and unfair. The church then comes out and says that marriage is sacred and that they're pro-marriage. Not if you're divorced, though. They won't recognize you to get married again. Everything in this country is just contradiction, unjust and unfair. Just watch the comment on the referendum. I wanted to comment. I'll be voting no, but I couldn't actually watch the Tonight Show last night. I just felt it was staged drama. You had both women politicians dressed in blue to symbolize trust, rehearsed on the topics. I believe this was something the government put together to encourage the yes vote. Well, but the government is encouraging a yes vote. I believe the brief was, come and say this and you'll come across as being there for the people. As in, no, I didn't see that. I didn't see the Virgin Media one last night. I did see the primetime one, so I can't comment as to, you know. But anyway, I think you're always going to find that politicians are having to stick to the party hymn sheet or the government hymn sheet if they decide that there's going to be a campaign for the yes vote. How can you have politicians who are for a party for the yes vote disagreeing with that? There was another clip actually from last night that I just want to play. And this is the part where Michael McDougall and Helen McEntee are across the table from each other. But he did give a case history, a particular case history. This is the former Justice Minister. Do you remember earlier on I said I wanted to play another little piece from it? This is the piece.
Neil Richmond sat where you sat at the moment, Helen, and he told Claire that there would be serious consequences. And I'm in a position now just to remind you that in 2022, a case was brought against you as minister by a Croat national. And he had married a Brazilian girl in Belfast and he had brought her back down here and your department gave her a 5-year work permit. They split up after 1 year and he met a Colombian girl. And she was a student in Ireland and she wanted to resist deportation. And she then decided that she would claim that she was part of a durable relationship. And your department said, this is ridiculous. You have one married a person and one contemporaneous durable relationship claim being made for two women to remain in Ireland. And that case was referred in 2022 to the European Court of Justice. Now, it hasn't proceeded there for different reasons, but I mean, this shows the confusion that there will be in immigration law. And your department was on the receiving end of this, and you are named as the respondent in those proceedings.
This is Michael McDougall, the former Justice Minister, who's very much against a yes vote and giving some examples or the potential issues that might arise down the track. And that's a case history for you. Text 0868104106 to the phone lines. We go, Marguerite, good morning.
Oh, hi, Neil, how are you?
Thank you for holding. You wanted to share your own scenario within your own home and family.
It draws on both the caring aspect as well. And I think I would be voting no because I was a special needs boy. He's 17 now. And I suppose up until last March, I managed, you know, I'm a nurse. I worked. I never worked in the summer when he was off school. I used to take leave, but I worked it around. I worked when I could work, which was in night duty mainly. My husband would be there in the morning,
right.
And I worked as well, so that our other two kids would see that. Even though we had they had a sibling with a special needs, it didn't mean that we couldn't progress like other families. So it was striking that balance.
Yeah. But it involved you doing night work, though, and it involved you and your husband doing daytime work.
Yeah, but it's a job. We worked around it and whatever.
Yeah, but a sacrifice nonetheless. That's not easy.
No, it's not easy. It's not easy. But there were two of us, Neil. That was the difference to now. There was two of us then. So, and it allowed for us, you know. We it wasn't easy at all. We made the best of it. And it kind of, it worked. We worked away. So then in May 2022, Killian turned 16. And as is the transition, you go from domiciliary care allowance, which is paid to the mother, and the child goes to disability allowance, which I remember at the time they said to me, he can sign this. I mean, Killian can't read or write. He can't dress himself. You know, he can't fill out a form. So at that time, you know, our means weren't even looked into. It was based on his own means. He obviously had
and he
qualified for disability loans. I suppose looking back, I should have been a bit clearer, more savvy about that. I was more on the lines of his disability fitting the criteria, as you would, you know, you would think disability loans, but actually it's the means is what's more relevant. So then in June 2022, a number of weeks later, my husband was diagnosed with esophageal cancer, and he passed away last March.
Sorry to hear that.
So then that you know, that's obviously a life-changing situation, and for me and for my children. So born out of that then, of course, with Killian's needs, there was no question whatsoever that I would ever be working. So initially I just took care of him, and then eventually I just took a career break, because I mean, I just was not and would not be in a position.
Okay.
And obviously they're the priority as well.
So
out of and his needs, like, so there I'm at home, I'm not getting, I'm on widow's pension, I get pension from Glenn, and the pension, the way his pension from work worked was a pension for me and a pension for the children up to 18, or I have a girl in college, she get a pension, but the minor beneficiary pension is paid to me to maintain the children. That's how it works, until they have capacity, and if my youngest fellow who's 13 gets to college age, he would be like me if he'd be able to manage it himself.
And where did that pension come from?
That was the way his pension, his occupational pension was structured. That's how where he worked.
Yeah.
He was in pharmaceuticals, and that was his pension.
Okay.
So, of course, when they were setting up as well to pay the pension, I did question at the time about Killian, because obviously he was never going to go to college. He'd never, you know, would he be recognised? You know, I suppose I challenged it. I kind of fought with it a little bit. I felt like he'd turn 18 this May and they'd be paying the pension. Then I couldn't go back then and say, well, you know, he's full care. You know, surely that's recognised. There must be some provision, you know, big pharmaceuticals and their policymakers. They don't leave themselves open like the government will let themselves open to cases. Like, they'll cover every ad. So with that, I was successful. They said they would pay, he fell under the terms of financial dependent, and it would be paid for his lifetime. So then about 6 weeks ago, a letter came from the Department of Social Protection addressed to Killian, who can't read or write. Dear Mr. Dempsey, please provide details of the Irish Life Pension. So I provided the details of the pension that is not being paid to him. And consequently, they cut his disability allowance to 44 euro a week. So what they said was, and what they still say, is that he has his own means, therefore he can maintain himself. So they're not looking at the fact that I'm a lone parent, that he's full care, that income is paid to me, because, and would always be, because he doesn't have the capacity, and it is to provide for him the same as my 13-year-old's. And also discriminating the fact that he's under 18, and that all children in this country, by the law of the land, their parents are obliged to provide for them. And this was my way of doing it. So now I'm in a situation whereby we've them all going on about the carers and giving them more this and that referendum. Like, this is me. I'm caring here.
So the first opportunity I got to chop makes this referendum very hypocritical to you. Yeah. When it went to 44 a week disability, what had it been?
It had been, he had full disability, which is 232, which was going in, which was paying, we'll say, for his OT and speech, all the services that aren't provided for the children. But either way, it wasn't being put up on the table here every week for him to pay.
So how were they able to prove that by taking his disability, this is not the first disability call that I've had actually from a young man who actually went again from 220 to 44 for no reason whatsoever in the whole wide earthly world. Somebody that was not capable of independent living nor going out and working for a living.
What they're saying is that the pension that's been paid to me for him, that's his. Because he's, it's like, it's strictly speaking, I suppose his name is attached to it, but Irish.
How much is that? How much is that Irish Life contribution?
That's 190 a week, like. But I mean, I suppose.
Oh, they're saying you can't have both.
You can't have both. So what? Yeah, but I mean, but also on disability loans, you have the capacity to earn. You can earn another 165 euro a week, and it's not even looked at. So there's other ways. People who have the ability to work on disability loans are, you know, can do it. And
can do more, yeah, but Killian
can't. They can't do more. But the point is that my child, who is going to be full care all his life, that this was going to provide some level of comfort and
of
quality.
Of a better life.
Because a better life.
You were looking forward to a better life rather than surviving on what it had been. And when the minute it kicked in then, the private pension, they took away close on 200 euro from his disability. I wonder how they found out about that. I mean, obviously...
I have no idea, I presume. Well, it could have been because I was doing the final, maybe I had to do the tax clearance, you know, because I pulled out my husband's check. But sure, I wasn't denying anything. Like, sure, I was being paid to me. I wasn't, you know, it wasn't being paid to him. It was my means, not his. And it's very clear that he will never
be... So you gave up work... Having already worked nights and your husband worked days, you passed away sadly. You gave up work when your husband passed away because, of course, full-time care. You did all of that. You saved the state vast quantities of money because you have a loving family and you want to mind your son. Absolutely vast quantities of money. And then on the first opportunity that they saw a way of making life tougher for you, because they have no soul.
Well, I suppose it highlights again it highlights how the subjective interpretation of legislation, the means testing. It's like every part of legislation in this country not being fit for purpose. The means testing is you know, it's, you know, you can have capital of 50,000, which he'll never have. You can have this, but the pension was the thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not looking at it on its own right. And then you have the same tomorrow with those two, you know, I mean, I would feel within the, you know, the durable relationship, I think any child that is reared in a house where they're loved, in a home that they're loved, you know, that's all they need. But the problem is, it's so open-ended in what they're proposing that you couldn't vote for it down the line for all, because it's not clear. And they can't go back and write it after. We need to see what it is before. Okay. And it's exactly the same with the caring. I'm here now. They're all on about how they're helping the marginal. I mean, even a letter came the other day for Killian again, and it stated on it that the reason that they, you know, they see that he has the means to live, like, because, of course, 17-year-olds are paying their own way in their own homes. Like, my 17-year-old, who isn't the ability to dress himself, is being already separated, like, and yet he's expected to use this pension. And they said that the means testing is there to ensure that those who need it most get it. But sure, like, my child is one of the most vulnerable.
Yeah, but they're using a private pension to
a pension
from somebody who worked all of their life to, again,
who died.
Who
made a provision in the, who kind of, I
so why would you bother, like, then? Shouldn't it, like, be people would say, I'm not going to be bothered with any of this, putting money aside, getting, working hard, having a pension.
Why would you?
It's going to be there for me at the end anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be like, here's my son now. I mean, the rules for him are so different to any other 17-year-old. Yeah.
So you can understand then why carers are very angry then. They feel as if it's an opt-out for the government.
Yeah, it's an opt-out for the government. And at the end of the day, you are, whoever you're caring for, generally they can be voiceless and faceless. And it's just, it is just relentless, you know, relentless, really, you know, and there's just no humanity or compassion, and it's just kicking the can down the road, whatever they're trying to bring in, because it won't be there to help anybody. You can be sure of it.
Thanks very much, Marguerite. I just want to do some texts here, because obviously this is the last opportunity. You're a smart man, in my opinion. Thank you, Anthony. You saw the debates. The government has been put in their place by untruths that they've been telling. Anybody voting yes in this referendum, in my book, is insane. The government's paid out millions of euro in trying to sway the people. Micheál Martin said on Tuesday that the Irish carers were on his side, when in fact carers are totally against the referendum. Leo remarked on television that he thought people should pay for their own care. Now he's saying it was taken out of context. Come on. Radcliffe said it on national TV. Then both government ministers had their cases blown completely out of the water by Michael McDowell. There are too many unanswered questions for this referendum to pass. Underhanded tactics by the government for sure. I won't be voting as my polling station is 20 kilometres round trip. I don't know who these crazy people are who allocate polling stations in the countryside. They would seriously need to consider people's carbon footprint. I suppose, unfortunately, that's one of the problems of living in rural Ireland. There's nothing as close as there would be if you were in the suburbs or in a satellite town. When Michael McGrath said that they wanted to modernise our constitution, that frightened me. The government, who has more time for what's happening abroad and is being led by same, as in Europe, wants to change our constitution, and in my opinion, they are not qualified to do this. They are using ridiculous wording to confuse people. Is there any chance we get, for whatever times left, somebody who's actually voting yes? It's absolutely hell for lots of working mothers and children. Why can't Ireland be like Finland? Are they afraid some parents will take them on for having to go out to work for economic reasons? During my working days, even back in the 90s, I saw young mothers getting that phone call from a creche telling them that the child was ill. How stressful. Could the government give a stay-at-home allowance for the first 3 years or something? Well, in Finland, if you look after your child at home, you can take unpaid childcare leave from your work until the child's third birthday. And by doing that, you apply for child home care allowance for that up to three years leave. You can also apply for home care allowance if you don't have a job. So in one way, you are financially recompensed for staying at home. It's clear the government does not wish to be constrained by the constitution. We should have more people who will stand up for women, for people needing care, and for the young and the old who should not be subjected to narcissistic TDs. But why is the government striving to increase the population by a third? The government is toxic and can't be trusted. The government is only interested in keeping Europe happy. The doll belongs to Europe, not the Irish people. You have the government coming out yesterday saying, let's increase the age of the Gardaí, etc. Who would want to join the Gardaí in their right mind when you're suspended for helping an old man with a bike? True enough. That's just a selection of them. Right. I'd say I might be able to get another half dozen or so after the break, and then I need to move on. Unfortunately, a lot will be left unread. Apologies.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
And be involved in the conversation. Text 0868 104 106. You're naive. The referendum is about immigration. They will use durable relationships so they can reunite with family, including wives, girlfriends, kids, grandparents and great-grandparents. They often live under the same roof in third world countries. Durable relationships, if approved in the referendum, would mean that a throuple, for example, would have a legal right through the High Court, a civil High Court claim, to ask for the same rights as a married couple under the Constitution. All it takes in court is one case to win, to change the dynamic of Ireland and its society forever. There's no going back if we vote yes, as Owen and Carrigaline. Now, both of those have been dealt with. Now, again, it's politicians telling us that throuples would not be recognised under Irish law, nor would polygamist relationships. The current wording of the Constitution in no way ties women to household duties. If you look logically at the wording, as it is now, it's clear to see that it's an actual acknowledgement to a mother's role and their work at home. Much of a mother's work goes unseen and is thankless and frowned upon by society. Why attack mothers and delete her role? After all, a mother carries her child in the womb for 9 months. She labours, gives birth to her child, breastfeeds, cares, loves the little baby, helps them grow to reach their early milestones. This is the most natural thing in the world. The Constitution, as it stands, is just acknowledging this. Why is this now seen as something that is so wrong? No one else can breastfeed your child. A father can't, a grandparent can't, a child, a carer can't. The state absolutely should acknowledge your role as mothers and let us do what is natural and right. I will absolutely be voting no. I'd say that could be it, lads, unless I get another little bit of an opportunity. I might get another couple on the air, but probably not. I got loads done, though, I have to say, and I hope you're happy with the coverage of it. I don't know whether it'll actually shine any light as to how you're going to vote tomorrow, but at least we dealt with it, and let's see what happens thereafter. A lot of other texts and different topics. You know the pensioner with the log cabin that I told you about up in Tipperary? He built a log cabin because he had nowhere else to live, bought the land, put it there, an Irish citizen, and is now in court on the 4th of April. If he doesn't take it down, It'll be knocked down, or if he doesn't take it down and knock it down, he'll go to jail. Richie says, I really feel there is a case to be brought against this government for discriminating against Irish citizens when it comes to housing in particular. If that man in Tipperary was a migrant, every politician would be fighting for him in his case, says Richie. Another one, man of advanced years has no home. The government is to blame. Man solves problem, provides his own home. Government takes away home and jails the man. Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens in court in that regard. But I'll be watching that one very closely as to what the judge actually says. The judge's hands are tied to some extent in the sense that the judge probably has to follow the letter of the law and the Bord Pleanála ruling. But then again, you'd never know on the day, nor the judge. On people who did or didn't get pamphlets, the booklets, the referendum booklets. I'm a postman, and also people who didn't get polling cards. I'm a postman. There are more polling cards going back than have been given out, I'd say. I sent back a polling card for a man who is 10 years dead and others who have moved house. The wastage in an election is atrocious. So thank you for that. Also, a correction. I may have earlier on inadvertently said that nitrous oxide would be used, say, for instance, by dermatologists to burn off blemishes on the skin. Philip says, to the best of my knowledge, liquid nitrogen is used in cryotherapy to remove warts, freezing flowers, etc. like that. That's liquid nitrogen, Neil. Nitrous oxide, laughing gas, is what the kids are abusing. Hope to God nobody tries inhaling liquid nitrogen. Thanks for correcting me. You're absolutely right. I did confuse the two, and you were right to do so. I'll come back to some of those other ones in a few minutes' time. Oh, yeah, and I also got quite an amount of grief with regards to people claiming that I was spoiling the storyline in the jury murder trial. You said you weren't going to say anything till Friday. Why didn't you stick to that? It kind of came out. It was inside my head waiting to come out. Neil just can't help himself. It's like a death by a thousand cuts. I'm going to watch it over the weekend. Don't go spoiling the jury TV series. It's a four-parter. I was watching it on television, but thanks, Prendo. We've had 8 hours. We have 8 hours work to do, and you only have 3 hours work, and then feet up for the afternoon. It's easy for you. Thanks for that. Thanks for that in my 3-hour day, my 15-hour week. You need to stop talking about the jury show. It'll take me a few weeks to catch up. We have it lined up. I'll have to turn you off if you mention it again. All right, so it's kind of in a queue of stuff that you need to watch. And on that basis, I can't talk about it tomorrow or even next week. I see. Okay, well, fair enough. I'll take it under advisement. Keep those texts coming. Text 0868104106. Unfortunately not, though, on the referendum, because I already have some that I'm trying to get on air and I wouldn't have time for any more. And midday is my cutoff with regards to that. But after the break, mothers very much in the news, mothers and women very much in the news with regards to the referendum, and also Mother's Day at the weekend.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now, 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Many people inquiring then about Sarah yesterday and the shocking call about the pain she was in. A lot of texts on that, and it goes to show the state of our health service. I have no update on that. I really don't, in the sense that we're trying to help as best we can. Many people suggested that, actually I see one here, there's an MRI in Mallow Primary Care. I had an MRI in Mallow Primary Care 3 weeks ago. It was only 2 days wait for an appointment. They are an Affidea mobile unit. So maybe that could have been an option for Sarah. The GP, her GP can refer to the medical assessment unit in the Bonds, which is a day ward. I was there last year. It was just a few days waiting for the appointment. And I think that maybe, even though I did mention that to Sarah, she should try that again. It isn't about the specialist that you're under. It's about getting your GP to get you. You have very good private health insurance, Sarah does. Just your GP to get you an appointment in the Bonds. Forget about anything to do with specialists for now. It's the hospitals that are dictating the waiting lists. Insurers have no input into that, the likes of VHI or Laya. It's the hospitals. Lots of them are taking public patients directly from the HSE. I did also see quite an amount of, I saw some criticism actually coming in by, I don't know, was it by text or by email last week, from people working in the HSE, saying that they find that sadly the amount of time that consultants are spending on private patients, and I don't mean to generalise on this as to criticise all of them, but it was just an observation that was made that too much private care is going on with regards to consultants in public hospitals to the detriment of public patients. But the opposite would be the case with Sarah, who has, she said herself, very good private health insurance. Sarah should go to the A&E and the Mercy. Having that private care, she should not be waiting. My VHI is $2,000 a year. I think she said hers was like $8,000 or $10,000 a year. And I get scans. And if I need them within a week, she could also fly to London for care. Well, there was a woman on the air 2 weeks ago who actually went to India for surgery because she couldn't get it here. And her son, who works in India, met her in Dubai and then flew her to India. And she got the care that she needed in India. You couldn't get it here. That poor woman, it breaks my heart listening to her. Well done for listening and trying to help her. Sometimes all you need to be is a listening ear. I hope she gets the urgent attention she needs, says Michelle. So thank you for those. Okay, Mother's Day is on a Sunday, and right across the week, courtesy of ourselves in the International Hotel at Cork Airport, we have Sunday lunch for two in the New Yorker Bar, followed by an overnight stay in a deluxe room, breakfast the following morning in the Atlantic Restaurant, and 2 hours private access to the in-house cinema for you and a loved one. So they're great prizes in a lovely hotel. You need to share your mammy stories, though. So Nicola's standing by. We'll blast through them and see how we get on. Karen first, though. Karen, good morning.
Morning, Neil. How are
it's
you?
It's the story of your mammy taking the law into her own hands.
It is.
Literally into her own hand.
It wasn't that embarrassing. Right. But at the time, I was mortified.
Okay. So
I was working in my first job. I was only 17, I suppose. It was summertime, first job, shy, quiet, inside, working away. Now, at the time, my mother had a business on the same street that I was working in. So she was a regular customer in and out. Everyone knew her to see and say hello to, and that was fine. But this particular day, I was working away, and I saw a squad car go up the street and didn't think too much of it. And 3 or 4 times, I saw guards up and down walking past the window. But I just saw Shira there out on the beat having a look around and carried on working away anyway. So then there was a charity shop also on the same street. So the manager of the charity shop arrived in the door and looked at me and said, "Oh my God, I just saw the CCTV. Is your mum okay?"
Oh,
and my
God.
Boss was next to me another couple of colleagues. So there was a big fuss anyway. And I said, "Is everything all right?" She said, "Look, I'll just tell you she's some woman. You better go in and check on her."
Oh, well, that would be all right to hear. But when you hear, "I just saw the CCTV, is your mum all right?" You're thinking she's been hit by a car crossing the road or something.
That's it. The first thing, my heart was in my mouth. But then she said, "She's some woman." So I said, "Okay, what's after happening here?" So my boss said to me, "Anyway, go on, take her time, see what happens, see if she's okay." So I went in and I found out the story. My mother had decided to drop a bag of stuff down to the charity shop. Down she went, dropped it off, and when she was in there, there was a man down at the back, peeping into the changing room at a girl.
What?
Now, she said it was a youngish girl. The girl was maybe in her 20s, but this guy was standing outside looking up over and looking in the side of the door and all this kind of carry on.
Bold as brass.
Down the back of the shop and he peeping in. So my mother went up to the counter anyway, and it was kind of an elderly woman volunteering. But she leaned over and she said, "I think you have a peeping Tom."
Peeping Tom.
And the poor woman behind the counter didn't hear a word she was saying. So she looked and said, I'm sorry, what?" And my mother again said it a little louder, "Down there, he's looking into the changing room at that girl." And the woman still couldn't hear her. So my mum started a little bit louder again, and she felt a tap on her shoulder. The man was after coming up from the back of the shop because he heard her telling his story. So this guy, anyway, squared right up to my mum, "Who do you think you are? You should mind your own business."
Well,
shouting and roaring.
He's like, he wasn't a father checking that a daughter or a son or something was, that his son inside
no,
was.
No, not was at okay. all. My mum said afterwards, even the girl was kind of looking out.
No, I'm just wondering why he would say, "Mind your own effing business," because he didn't have a legitimate reason to say, "Mind your own effing business," is what I'm saying.
Oh, God, no reason whatsoever. Right, okay. He was just annoyed that someone caught him, I suppose.
Right.
So my mother, God, she was only about 5'5" anyway, and nearly 60 at the time. This man was being threatening in her face, shouting and roaring at her. And she said, she doesn't know, was it anger or fear? she closed her fist and she punched him into the jaw and took off. Because she said she didn't want to stay there in case he hit her.
Right.
So I'm thinking, off she went anyway.
Yeah. The law is a weird thing, you know. Go on. I don't know what will happen next.
It came around anyway. The guards have to come and see the CCTV anyway and the whole lot. But they called up to her and it was a male and a female guard. And the female guard said it was the funniest thing she ever saw. She said, fair play to you anyway. She said, I was watching you on the CCTV and for a woman of your age now, no offence, and your size to do something like that, you must have some bravery. And they actually said to her that she could have pressed charges against the man with the CCTV, but God, my mother was mortified. She said, I wouldn't want anyone ever seeing that video. So it was left off anyway.
Because the crazy world that we live in now, it could have been the other way around, that she assaulted a guy, and I know that he's a creep, don't get me wrong in that regard, but that she could have been technically done for assault.
Oh, absolutely. But I suppose the CCTV showed his body language and he was being threatening to her. So it
a right to defend herself is the thing, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to go back into work to all my colleagues and tell the story of my lovely sweet mammy punching the man in the jaw and taking off out the door.
Well, you should be very proud of her.
I am now. At the time I was mortified, but afterwards, looking back on it, we still laugh about it.
But if she were to win a prize today, I'm not suggesting that she will just yet, there's no fear that she'd punch a member of staff up at the Cork International Hotel, is there?
I don't think so, no. I think them days are behind her.
Okay, well, we'll hang in there. Don't go anywhere, Karen. What's your mam's name? Are we allowed to know?
I better not say or I will be killed.
Okay, all right, okay. You can't help but ask. Nicola, good morning.
Morning.
Okay, Mother's Day at the weekend. What have you got for me?
Right, so bear in mind this was 17 years ago, but it still haunts me to this day. So when I was 17, it was Christmas, I got a phone call off one of my friends to say, do you want to come down here for a couple of drinks? Bearing in mind it was my first time ever drinking. So I said, grand, I leave. My mum was at home and went off, had a couple of drinks, came home.
How old, sorry, I know you mentioned your age though. What did you say your age was at the time?
I was 17.
Okay. And a couple of drinks was like what?
I'd say it was probably two bottles of Smirnoff Ice because it was my first time drinking, do you know? Okay. I probably couldn't handle a bottle of water at that stage.
And the problem with those, of course, they're so attractive because they're so sweet and cold and lovely, but they're...
That's it. So easy to drink. Yeah, so got to the front door, and as you know, when you're a little bit drunk, there instead of one keyhole, there was about four. And they were all moving, and I was trying to get the key in, and all of a sudden I saw the shape of my mother coming down the stairs, and I thought, oh Lord, I'm dead. So I was like, act sober. So she whips open the door, and she goes, are you drunk? And I said, no. And she said, get in. So I was like, okay. So as it was Christmas, I had this Santa hat on, and there was a flashing Santa on it, but I had forgotten I put it on. So it kept flashing to the side of me and I was getting freaked out because I was like, what is this? So she whipped it off my head and she said, get up to bed. So I was like, grand. So I went upstairs and she said, I was in brushing my teeth and I turned around and she was staying in looking at me and I was like, are you okay? So now there was more toothpaste on my jumper than my mouth and I was a disgrace. So I went in and I sat down on the bed and she goes, right. She said, you're trying to say to me that you're not drunk. And I said, I'm not. And she goes, grand. She goes, you're going to do some tongue twisters for me. I said, grand. So she said, right, there you go now. She sells seashells by the seashore. And I said,
she sells seashells by the seashore.
By the seashore. And so that was the first one, yeah. Right?
Quicker.
Yeah. I thought I was like Shakespeare spouting it off. Thought, God, she'll never think I'm drunk. And the next one then was, I broke my bottles off Rolex's wall. I broke my bottles. Now, as you can imagine, there's a bit of a curse word. Yeah.
That's a new one on me now. I've heard the seashells one and stuff like that.
Yeah. But if you say it fast enough, you end up saying a curse word.
I broke my bottles off Rolex's wall.
I broke my bottles. So if you put the B in front of the R in Rolex, you get, I can't say it. So I said that about four times.
I broke my rattles off Bollocks' wall.
No, oh yeah, literally. So I broke my bollocks, sorry. off Rolex's wall, right? So I said this about four times, and she said, right, get into bed. And I said, fine. So I woke up next morning, absolutely green. I mean, I was like, I'm never drinking again if that's what this is what a hangover is like. Anyway, fast forward a couple of days later, and we were sitting in my aunt's house for Christmas morning. And I was in talking to my cousins, and all of a sudden I just hear this noise coming from the kitchen. And I went, what's that? And I went, oh my God, that's me. So I went in, and she was showing all my aunts and my uncles in the kitchen. She had recorded me.
I broke my bollocks off Rolex's wall.
No, from the second I came in the door until I was into the bed. So she was showing the whole family. I nearly...
She filmed the whole thing.
She recorded me, and she was showing the whole family on Christmas morning. I was mortified, and then a couple of months later, so
she had no issue at all with you arriving home at 17, langerated, so much so that she filmed it.
I was only a couple of months off my 18th, so she said she'd leave me off because it was my first time. It was my first time drinking.
Yeah, you were 17, nearly 18. I got it.
Nearly 18, So then she rang me a couple of months ago and she said, guess what I found? And I said, what? The bloody video is still on her phone 17 years later.
Get it up on TikTok. Get it up on Instagram. Get it up on YouTube. Come on.
No way. Not a hope. I was saying it's bad enough. My family saw it. Never mind the whole world. So no, I think no
how
way.
How long ago was that?
17 years
You're
ago.
You're so lucky there was no Twitter, Facebook, there was no X, there was no TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
There was no Snapchat because your mother would have... Erin, send it on to me and I'll put it on Twitter. Go on.
You will not. A whole...
harmless.
You couldn't pay enough money now for me to send that to you.
I want any excuse to be able to say I broke my bollocks off Rolex's wall.
Yeah, oh God, no, I couldn't. So there you go now.
Your mother's up for a good laugh, that's for sure. Hang in there, don't go anywhere. Let me see if I can get another one in this side of midday. How am I doing? I'm doing okay. Lorraine.
Hi Neil, how are you?
Oh, there's a high bar this morning with Divilment. What have you got? Punching peeping toms, recording drunk daughters.
Not quite. It's in relation to my daughters, all right. A couple of years ago, I was just after having my third baby, and my 4 and 5 year old had absolutely no fear of talking. I mean, they had definitely gone over the shyness stage of you know, when they're starting to talk. And we were out shopping, just doing the grocery shop, and I was busy packing, bagging up the groceries, and they were on the opposite end of the trolley entertaining their newborn sister. So this gentleman approached, and he was bagging up his shopping up behind ours. And of course, as you do, like when there's two little kids talking to, or looking at you, he starts talking to them. And he's asking about their little sister in the trolley and, you know, what's her name and all this. And then he's kind of, you know, still making small talk with them and asking, you know, do you help, let's say, with the changing of the nappies?
Yeah.
They say, yeah, well, you know, but only the wet ones because, the pooey ones are too stinky. So she starts laughing. And then she's, my daughter's just kind of staring, are you going to kind of converse more? Like, you know, so she says, and do you help with the bottles? And she says, no, she doesn't have any bottles. Mammy feeds her with her boobies. So the poor man starts to wake up because he does know me a little. And he's kind of shaking his head like, and so he kind of...
Well, yeah, he says, and how's that working out for her?
So, next thing, I'm shaking my head in disbelief and how on earth is she after saying this, like, in front of this guy. So, I say to the cashier, I said, I don't know where she was got, like, you know, but anyway, I'm bagging up the shop even quicker. And my other daughter pipes up and she goes, but Mammy, she goes, you do know where we came from. We came from Daddy's seed and your eggs. So, at this stage...
How old is your daughter with all of this patter?
They were 4 and 5 at the time, you know, so, as I said... liable to say anything. Thank God they didn't know my bank account details. So I say to the cashier, like, you know, like shaking my head, and she says, I reckon to this stage you probably need to start considering the delivery service instead of coming into the shop.
That's the way with kids. Yeah, that's the way with kids. Like, I mean, you certainly got them going really in the biology lessons very early in life, didn't you?
Well, I was trying to educate them someday without, you know, lying to them, but at the same time thinking maybe that was a tad too soon to give them that information.
I always remember I just remember being in, I don't know where it was some shopper's department store, I can't remember what it was, whatever it was, there was some kids in there with their parents and stuff like that. And I didn't see it, but I did hear it. You know, because you have the dressing rooms and you go sure. in there and then you have the different compartments, they have curtains on them. And whatever way it was, I know it was like getting shoes or something, it might have been a kid's thing, I can't remember. All I remember was some child inside in the dressing room, and it was a boy, a very small boy, in the women's dressing room, mm-hmm. screaming out at the top of his voice, "Mammy, look at that woman's huge knickers!"
Yep, that'd be something my two would have said too.
I mean, that young fella's mother would want the ground to open and just swallow her, like.
And to this day, I still see that gentleman in the shop. As I said, he was kind of a distant acquaintance, like, you know, but I keep shaking my head and kind of changing the direction he's coming.
He knows a little bit too much about how you nourished your children.
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
Okay, hang in there, guys. Back after the break.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Update on Sarah. We did yesterday off the air reach out to the public relations firms that deals with the Mercy and indeed the COH. Nobody has come back to us and nobody's made contact and come back to our queries, but Sarah hasn't slept since Monday because of the pain. She's just left her GP now, who is going to send her in through the COH. She says that they will either just send her straight home or she'll be kept in A&E for 12 hours as is normal. Who knows what will happen after that? She just needs an MRI. She's promised that she will keep us updated. I don't know, is it that the bonds is rammed or the matter is rammed? But I'm assuming your GP knows the best line on this one. A CAT scan is what she needs. My apologies, a CAT scan. But you can get a CAT scan in the bonds. You can get a CAT scan in the matter. And she's got rocking private insurance. So why would you go to the Mercy or the CUH with private insurance like that? Only because maybe... the bonds, or maybe the matter is just absolutely rammed. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody listening to this program would be terribly worried if a special case was made for Sarah at this stage when I heard the pain that she was in yesterday morning. Anyway, we'll come back and update on that tomorrow if it happens. But gotta love you and leave you. Before I go, no, not that one. Nicola is on line one. Okay. Right. If I send you and your mother up to the Cork International Hotel, your mother's got to turn off the camera on her phone, right?
Is that me?
Yeah. She can't be filming the staff. She can't be filming customers having a drink, even if they've had a few too many. She's got to behave herself.
I promise she will absolutely.
Are you have until the weekend to come up with some really good prank that you can play on your mum in the hotel and film.
Oh God. Absolutely. That's brilliant.
Here's a plan, right? Hopefully she's not listening. Get in cahoots with the staff up there and plan something, you know, between you and the staff. Oh God. Like,
between me and them.
Serve her the wrong food or something, or
I'd absolutely love. I'd have to have a good think about that now.
Get thinking about some kind of a setup, right? That the staff in the Cork International Hotel can play with you against your mother, and that would be a great revenge. Right.
It would. I've been waiting 17 years to get her back anyway, so maybe this is the time.
She sells seashells on the seashore. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Have a good one. Enjoy it. You're more than welcome.
So
thanks, Nicola. Take care.
You.
Okay. Her mother still remains nameless. But anyway, we'll see tomorrow. Oh, so we have two prizes tomorrow for the Cork International Hotel. We also have flowers from Shandon Flowers on Shandon Street. Thank you so much to Stacey. We will give away, something between 3 and 5 bouquets of flowers from Mammy's tomorrow, and 2 giveaways for the Cork International Hotel for who you and whomever you choose to take with you. Well, as long as it's your mammy. So share your funniest, most mortifying and embarrassing stories. Please text 0868104106 or email neil@redfm.ie. Have a good day. I'll see you tomorrow.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.